Are you ready for the Low Blows Network? It's the show where you control what's on the agenda. Ask us anything and we're bound to answer. Starring Rick Nash, Corporate King, and the Queen of Irish Wrestling, Katie Harvey. It's Ask Low Blows.
Let's pick up where we left off last week. Now that it's a week later and we're in a better position to discuss it, because if you were listening to last week's show, though obviously it wasn't something that we wanted to kind of advertise or kind of make a big deal about with such tragic circumstances, we always talk about, it's been a running joke, not a joke, but you know, it's been a running theme on Low Blows for years that stuff happens on Wednesdays, and that in lockdown seems to have escalated to stuff, stories break mid-show, and that took a horribly tragic turn this time last week, when we learned that tragically Ryan Smile, who had a profile over here, former OTT champion of course, but more importantly than that, was just a friend and a work colleague to so many people over here, had passed away. And it broke mid-show while we're recording. There was no way to kind of, when we're in that situation, obviously we can't discuss stories, and we're going to be making something that we're putting out to air, so we can't discuss stories that we don't know and we don't have a chance to even look into. So and then the tragic circumstances around it, obviously, it seems that he took his own life, which is just horrific. Well, it's been confirmed by those close to him that he took his own life, which is just absolutely horrific. And something that, unfortunately, during these times, it seems to be something that's happening. And I can't remember kind of a time like this since maybe the start of the recession, when we were just confronted with these horrific stories that almost seem to be regular at this stage, and we're almost becoming used to them, which is not something that you should be used to. But guys, as we get started on Ask Low Blows, and we do have a normal show still to come, a quick word on this. Katie, I know obviously as a former OTT Women's Champion, and someone who was with the company to begin with, and Ryan Smile was obviously with OTT from the very first show, he would have been someone you would have shared a locker room in. I know this was absolutely shocking news to yourself last week. What are your thoughts? How are you feeling? And how would you kind of sum up your experiences of working with Ryan and the impact he had on the industry over here, which was obviously huge?
Yeah, like that proper threw me for a loop last week. And like, it was just, my brain was a bit foggy for a few days afterwards. And I'm not going to lie and say like we were super close friends or anything. I actually hadn't spoken to him in a couple of years. But when OTT started, like, I don't think you can overestimate, or like, he was just such a big part of OTT, and he was such a big part of that locker room. And like, he is one of the people directly responsible for the Irish wrestling boom that we've all enjoyed for the past 6 or 7 years. He designed the OTT logo. He did a lot of their original graphic work. And everywhere you go, there's part of Ryan Smile and OTT. And just as we kind of get further and further away from like his classic matches at the beginning of the promotion, like, I think it's worth going back and remembering the impact that he actually had on the Irish wrestling industry. Like, he was on the very first OTT show. Now, when OTT started, it was kind of revolutionary because it was an over 18 show. We'd had Poetry Slam and stuff before, but this was the kind of first go at having like an over 18 promotion. And I remember Phil coming to watch it, and I remember asking him what he thought of the show afterwards. And he's like, yeah, it was good. And he goes, but those Brits. He was like, no one could touch those Brits. And that was Ryan Smile versus Pete Dunne. And it was just, their match was on another level to everyone else. In Ireland, we were kind of slipping into that sort of, like, not slipping in, we didn't know anything else. That kind of campy family show, characters, big heel, big face. Like, indie hadn't really touched Ireland yet, you know, apart from maybe, you know, when Irish Whip or NWA would have, like, AJ Styles and stuff over, you know, we just didn't have that influence here.
Yeah,
I think that's fair to say. they just hit the bar, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, they just created the bar for what OTT was to live up to. And, you know, we got the influx of imports then, and then we got the Irish people trying to step up their game, because in the beginning of OTT, the people were coming to see the Ryan Smiles and the Pete Dunnes. And it's just so important to remember that. Like, when you think back at the classic matches from the beginning of OTT, you have, like, Ryan Smile and Chris Hero, you have the Uptown Funkers matches, like, and just even outside the classic matches, like, he was such an influence in the locker room as well. Now, he wasn't a saint. He was very, very loud. You know what I mean? Like, he was a big personality. Like, Joe would hold pre-show meetings, and it would just literally be like watching Wimbledon, because Joe would say something, then Justy would say something, then Ryan Smile would say something, then it'd go back to Joe, and then it'd be Justy, Ryan Smile, Joe. And you'd just literally be sitting there, like, going back and forwards, listening to the banter, like. And, like, but that's what he was. Like, he filled a room. But even aside from that, like, he was a kind person. Like, don't get me wrong, he knew he was one of the best in the locker room. You know what I mean? Like, he took pride in the fact that he walked in and had match of the night on shows. But he also helped the other people on the card. Like, I remember, might have been the first stadium, and it might have been the first time that Karen was ever using Maniac as her theme song. And the music was getting tested before the show. And Ryan comes up to us and he's like, look, I think this music's a mistake. He was like, nobody knows this. I think it's a mistake. And we were just kind of laughing, and we were like having the banter with him. We're like, ha, oh, you're right on a lot of things to do with wrestling, but, like, you're wrong on this one. You know what I mean? And Karen's like, no, believe me, this is going to be a hit, like, whatever. So she comes out to Maniac anyway. And, like, you know the reaction when she comes out to Maniac. Mm-hmm. It's fucking wild. Like, everyone's on their feet. Everyone's chanting. And apparently he was just, like, blown away by this. And he came up to us afterwards and he's just like, I'm not often wrong, but I was wrong. You know what I mean? Like, and then we had a really good chat about the match. And, like, that's just the kind of person he was. Like, he's just a big personality. Like, and it was sad to see him leave wrestling, but I understand, like, he had his own reasons for leaving. Mm. And, like, his wife is absolutely lovely. I know her from wrestling as well. Alex Windsor, Alice. And I think it just hit me so hard, because I thought he was away from it. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, we hadn't heard from him for years, but, you know, it just threw me for a loop, because it just kind of felt like then, like, it could have been anyone, you know what I mean? And it just kind of made me think, like we need to look after each other so much, you know what I mean? Even if you don't see someone, we need to be checking in on each other. We need to be like, we need to be so aware of what we're putting out into the world. We need to be so aware of, like, are we spreading positive energy or negative energy? Are we, like, making someone's life better, or are we making it worse? It was just a real few days of kind of, like, soul searching and thinking and just taking a deep breath, because Ireland's going back into lockdown. We're going into tougher times. And I just think this is something that us as wrestling fans can take away from this now, is that we just need to look after each other. So yeah, this week I'm gonna hop on the OTT network. I'm gonna enjoy some Ryan Smile matches and just kind of think of the nice guy he was and the good memories that we have there from him.
It's awful, and as you say, like, it's one of those things where we don't know why he did what he did, and there's no way to know, but you feel that. I think everyone around that time, it's so sad when you see someone so young, so creative, and had such promise as well. Like, regardless, like, again, like, the talents that he had, as you say, he designed the OTT logo. It didn't just extend to wrestling. And when you see people like that who are so talented, you're just like, the what they have to offer the world. And we feel like it's preventable. And we think, what could I have done? Is there anything I could have said or done? And the truth is, like, it's very often it's not. And it's a very natural kind of emotion to jump to. But, like, it's just sad, and it's just shit. And there's just no two ways around it. Corporate Keane, obviously you're, like, huge OTT fan and have been to so many shows, been front row for so many great memories. From a fan's perspective, Ryan Smile, and what is your kind of takeaway on his impact on you, your fandom, and kind of Irish wrestling from what you've seen?
Yeah, I've always believed that Ryan Smile, like, at one point, was definitely the most underrated wrestler in Europe. Like, I look back at like my earliest memories in OTT, and they all involve going to the Tivoli. And you walk in like thinking you've seen wrestling, you know, thinking you know what wrestling is, and then you leave and you're like, holy shit, like what the fuck? I didn't know I could, you know, get to those like the Uptown Funkers matches and like the fucking his matches with Marty Scurll. Katie mentioned his match with Chris Hero as well at WrestleCon, and like the match where he won the title off Pete Dunne. There are so many memories in early OTT, like 2016, 2017, around that time. That involved Ryan Smile. He is such an important figure in like Irish wrestling history, and it's something that he's someone that we'll be looking on like years, decades from now. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like as a fan, he played a crucial role in shaping that kind of OTT experience and shaping that sort of understanding that like you can go to these kind of 18 shows and you will see absolute mad shit, and that it's really worth your time going, and it's. He's one of the wrestlers that made me into the sort of like seriously like passionate Irish wrestling fan that I am now, and yeah, like he'll definitely be missed.
I think it was yourself in one of your fantasy booking scenarios who brought up. I can't remember the exact circumstances, but I think you brought up like it was an OTT Rumble scenario you brought up, and then Ryan Smile was like a mystery entrant, and I think that was one of the ideas you've had that we all went, oh, that'd be, you know what I mean? And it was one of those where like, yeah, I think we all kind of, I know he, in particular in the UK more so than over here, he had ups and downs with fans and a contentious relationship, sparked perhaps by being such a big personality and so outspoken. But like with Ireland, I think there was always that sense of respect and appreciation for what he'd done. I think a lot of people always kind of wanted to see like Ryan Smile come back. I think they wanted to see him or at least be acknowledged for the person he was, like, you know, while he was still here. Although obviously we couldn't have foreseen this coming. And I think he was one of those people. It's just a shame we'll never get to have that moment. And that's far from it. Again, keep in mind there's a family here left devastated by this. There's parents without a son. There's a child without a father. There's a wife without a husband here. And that's the main tragedy here. As much as we all may feel kind of our own sense of loss in what we don't get to have, but there's people suffering on a day-to-day basis, and I think that's the important thing to remember here. And rest in peace, and thanks for the memories, Ryan Smile. I didn't know him personally. I was only familiar with him as like similar to Keen, as kind of a fan, as a spectator, seeing him help OTT grow in the early days. So I can't speak to him as a person or kind of. I feel even inadequate kind of trying to lead a conversation about him, but it's something that I think we need to do, like as one of the main podcasts that covers this kind of subject matters. I think it's important for us to acknowledge kind of his contribution. And when I see a story like this and I see something so sad, I was kind of one thing that kind of struck me, and I think it's worth kind of just mentioning but not making the story about, is that as soon as it dropped, like I remember when Hana Kimura, obviously another tragic suicide that we just have to, again, 2020 is so horrible. These are just things that feels like months ago, but it was only a couple of months ago now. There's a lot of discussion about like people weaponizing her death for their own kind of purpose. I didn't really see it at the time because I'm like, if people want to talk about online bullying and she left because of that, then like that's relevant. Like, so, but with Ryan Smile, I kind of saw it a little bit. I thought people were kind of making it about, I thought there was a rush to make it about kind of issues that people wanted to make it about, if that makes sense. Like, I feel that people made it about like Twitter bullying and kind of, I don't know, like nobody knows what led to this, but again, he's not someone that's been on Twitter for a couple of years. He's not someone that has been even kind of discussed or there's been a controversy around for a couple of years now. I think it's a bit of a reach to make it about that subject. And I kind of noticed that people trying to maybe control the narrative a little bit and trying to make it about their pet peeve. And certain people that are involved, I think, as well, wanted to make it like there are people who have a vested interest in not wanting people to talk freely on Twitter. So I think there was kind of a bit of agenda going on there as well. And I think that's a shame. I don't think we should do that with a life. I don't think we should try and hijack the narrative and make it about what we want it to be about, because we don't know. And again, we have to remember kind of, it's not about what our agenda is. It's not about what our pet peeves are. It's about the family that are suffering at the core of this. And I think it's, when I look at stories like this and I look at suicide in general, and I do a lot of mental health work, like I've obviously done podcasts around it. I now do a lot kind of in my day job as well. I kind of always try and think of something that it's important to remember is kind of looking out for the signs in people we know, because again, like, could any of us have, like, in the positions we're in, could we have done anything about Ryan Smile? No, probably not. You know what I mean? And the reality is, and the sad reality at the core of mental health discussions is, quite often there's not a lot that anyone can do. You know what I mean? There's no responsibility, as much as we all like to feel that we could have helped or saved or helped prevented or done something. That's just natural human emotion, but it is unpreventable, sadly. But what we can do is we can look out for each other, as Katie was saying there, and we can know the trappings of poor mental health and someone who is trying to talk, and just be aware of it and kind of reach out to people. Like, for example, if you're looking at signs of poor mental health in someone, things to look out for, like warning signs, alarm bells, would be people who are like maybe feeling negative towards the world. One alarm bell I always look out for are people who are trying to prove the world is bullshit, if that makes sense. And they're only looking at evidence that may support that. And then it's just kind of, again, and again, you can't help people who don't want to be helped. And that's something that's important to remember as well for our mental health sake. We're not qualified to deal with this, and we're not qualified to save someone or help someone in those situations. But what we can do is we can facilitate a positive atmosphere around them. We can remind them that help is available. And I know people are saying that help isn't available. I was in therapy just last Saturday talking about, like, I was talking about this and how I felt about this, among other things. Help is out there. It's possible. It's accessible. It's affordable. IACP, IACP.ie, if you're looking for information. The House Samaritans, these are resources you can use. Your friends, even just talking about it, if you are feeling these symptoms, again, just remember, think of how this impacts you. Think of how this feels for you now, seeing this happen with someone else. People would feel the same if it was you, if you're suffering. So please do something about it. Talk to someone if you can. And like Katie said, let's just be there to support each other, because it didn't have to be this way, and yet here we are. And we're saying all these nice things, and it's just a shame we couldn't get to say them while he was still here and he could hear it, because if he could, maybe he'd feel differently. But who knows? And it's just tragic. And there's no way to transition into that, but we do have a show to get to. There's no way to kind of seamlessly do that, but we're going to get on with the show. We're going to get to it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand you over to your regular host. I'm going to hand you over to Corporate Keane, and we're going to try do a show. We're going to try, again, we're going back into lockdown. So all we can do and what we can contribute is we can try and put a smile on your face and have a bit of a laugh and distract you for a little while. So Corporate Keane, if you want to take the reins, we'll get this show on the road. Normal ass low blows.
So will we just hop into the questions?
Yeah, sure.
Right. First one comes in from @KentoCCFC. Again, it's a desert island question, like we were doing last week. Which obviously I was unreal at, for those of you who need a recap. Katie kind of struggled here and there, but you know, it was, but I had it nailed down. So basically, take one of the following with you. Let's begin. A duck or a kitten?
I'm going to go with a duck.
What? Why?
Okay.
Ducks lay eggs. You can eat eggs.
Yeah, but not a duck in it, like.
Oh, wait, hang on. It's only one duck. Now, hang on. Do ducks still lay eggs even if there's not another duck? They do.
Do they?
I don't think they get... The ducks, like, have sex to lay eggs. Like, is that the question you're asking? Because I don't know the answer. If that's the case, I've never thought about way.
I think they do lay eggs anyway, but right, only if they want to turn it a duckling, they need another duck. If the ducks lay eggs, I'm picking a duck, because that's way more useful than a kitten.
Yeah, but a kitten's cute.
They're not.
I,
but go on.
Really? Wait, so Rick, you're going with a kitten?
I'm going with a kitten. You get to see it grow into a cat. It's a friend. It's a buddy.
Do you? Do you get to see it grow into a cat because you're on a desert island?
I'm not going to eat the kitten.
Yeah, but what's the kitten going to eat? No food. You're on a desert island. For me, this is easy. This is piss easy. I'm actually going with the duck. Because the duck, you know, I mean, island. So, like, there'll be water and stuff. So, like, it can just, you know, paddle around the water. I'll, you know, kick the ball around on the island. He'll swim around the island in the water and it'll all be good. Me and him, no stress, no nothing. Whereas the kitten kind of needs a bit more. It's a responsibility. You know, I mean, you have to look after the kitten, which I don't think on a desert island I'd be in a position to do. So, I'm going to go with the duck.
Okay, fair.
No, not really. The cat will fuck off 2 weeks in and leave you for dead. At least the duck would be loyal. You'll lose the duck to the water. The water is you're not the duck's best friend. You're the kitten's best friend. You're in charge of the kitten, and the kitten needs you.
That's not a good thing. Why would you want somebody to be depending on you during a fucking stranded island affair? Like,
hang on, you wouldn't lose the duck because the ducks don't go on seawater.
I'll make him his own lake.
Yeah, you'd have to have a little lake where you could live. Like, and then that would be good because then you can drink the lake water. You can't drink seawater. You really aren't
drinking his water. That's selfish.
Like, Katie, you're going full Bear Grylls here. Like, again, I'm not saying that's the wrong approach. It's probably the right approach in a desert island scenario. But I'm just saying, I'm thinking more just like day-to-day quality of life. You're thinking, I need to survive this. I need to get out of here.
I'm not sure what a kitten would contribute to my life.
It's cute. Happiness.
No.
A cat will kill you when you sleep. That's also true. Yeah, if it's not fed. So, yeah, that's true. A duck won't kill you when you sleep. But a duck might peck you in the shin. And can't that break your leg?
What?
No, not from a duck.
Oh, that's a swan. Sorry. A swan can break your leg. Yeah. If a swan attacks you, you're fucked, basically. Ducks fly away.
yeah and look, well, good for them then. You know what I mean? Less people strand on this fucking island, the better. You know what I mean? So I'm going with the duck.
We're already seeing a team. Katie's trying to survive. I'm trying to be happy. Keane just doesn't want anyone else bothering him with their shit.
I don't want anybody bothering me or my John Cena cardboard cutout. And I feel like
you don't get to keep this is a new desert island situation. You don't have an arsenal that you've kept from last week that you're adding to.
Oh, all right. Because Jimmy says kitten might be faster avoiding the darts. So I thought we were joined up. Fair enough. I'm gonna go with the duck still. I think I think he's probably sounder. Right. An umbrella or a baguette?
Strange.
Definitely the umbrella.
Baguette.
The umbrella can give you shelter. You can use the spokes of the umbrella to create weapons. You can fold up the umbrella and you can hunt for fish with it. Like, there's loads of things you can do with an umbrella.
But you're not going to eat it though, are you? Whereas a baguette you can eat. An umbrella, like, I mean, you can make shelter yourself. You know what I mean? That's what I'm thinking. Like, in terms of like rainwater shelter, you can make that yourself. So that's no problem. Whereas, like, if I'm hungry, I'm not going to turn around and eat the umbrella. Do you know what I mean? So, baguette for me. Thank you very much.
Katie's planning for life. Keane is planning for 2 hours from now.
Well, an umbrella could take your eye out. Exactly. Could a baguette take your eye out? Maybe, but only if you were very irresponsible. I think umbrella, much bigger chance of taking your eye out. I'd like to have both my eyes on this island. Keith says it can be a sail for your escape raft. So kind of baguette, if that's what you want to do with it, but I'd probably eat it personally.
No. You put the baguette in water and you just lose the filling. And then, like, the baguette starts to slowly come apart as it gets more soggy. In salt water, like, it's going to come apart in seconds.
Well, then I won't be sharing it with the duck. Thank you for the information, Rick. But I'm still going to be eating it myself, so I'm going to go with the baguette.
Also, as well, you've just created another reason the duck is going to attack it. Like, the duck is going to try to get that baguette. Because you're not going to feed
it.
Yeah,
we'll share it. We'll go halves. Baguettes are big, so I'm going to go, we'll go halves. All right, me and the duck. Whereas the kitten will probably take all of it, you know what I mean? Could be a fat bastard of a kitten, you don't know. Whereas ducks are pretty consistent, so I'm going to go with the duck, the baguette. I'm actually really confident in these decisions, actually.
You seem to get more confident with the amount of criticism we level at you.
It just reinforces how right I am. Ducks won't eat bread, though. I think that's all they eat, what? Jonathan, is it not? That ducks only eat bread.
Yeah, you feed the ducks with bread. I've seen ducks eat bread.
That's all you see.
I don't think you're supposed to, though.
Why would they let this happen for years?
They're intolerant. Oh, so I've been killing ducks my whole life. Oh, that's sad. Yeah,
my local duck pond has a big sign up asking you like not to feed them bread, and like it gives you a shopping list of other things you can feed the duck.
What can you give them?
I think you can give them like seeds and raisins and stuff, fruit and vegetables.
Oh, I'll give them. I'll give them all that. Like I hate fruit and vegetables. So this is what I mean. Me and the duck, we can work things out. You know what I mean? I'll have the baguette. He can have any fruit or vegetables we find on the island. I'm really confident now. The more we go on, have I convinced either of you to change your mind yet?
No, not at all.
Your baguette. No.
Jesus Christ. I don't know. All right, Phil Dunphy or Jay Pritchett. This is easy. This is piss easy. I think we're all gonna agree on this.
Phil Dunphy.
Phil Dunphy's funny as fuck. Phil Dunphy is one of the funniest people ever. Like, who? Like you could be in the worst mood ever and piss and rain, it's cold, and your football just burnt. Oh, no, that was the other one. But still, or like you ate your baguette, now your baguette's gone, and you're real sad and you're hungry. Like, what do you need in this situation? You need Phil Dunphy.
Yeah, but Jay Pritchett is going to be good from a survival standpoint.
To come and cheer you up, you know? Yeah, that's boring, though.
Katie, as the survivalist of the group, do you think that Jay Pritchett has survival tactics?
No, right? He could probably build you a wardrobe you could live in, and that's about the extent of it. But Phil Dunphy has mad ideas. Like,
yes!
He would just have... And, like, 1 out of 10 of them might work, but it would be a really good...
I didn't even think of that. Yeah, he's always... Him and Luke are always, like, up to shit, aren't they?
Yeah, they're always up to mad shit. He's got such a good imagination. He'd definitely be able to, like, help you out with some stuff.
Oh, Phil, that's it. That's Phil, 100%. Yeah.
Okay, fair. I'm sold.
Keith says Jay is rich though. They'll look for him. It's Jay. Jay was Al before he witnessed.
Entered witness protection. Al Bundy before your time.
Oh, but even then, like them looking for him doesn't mean they'll find him. So I'm gonna go with. I don't know. I'm confidently going with Phil. This is actually great. I'm loving this. A cheese string or a baby bell? Again, I have a good answer for this, but I want to hear from the two of you first.
I don't like either, so I would pick whatever Phil Dunphy prefers so he could have it.
Oh, that's a fair answer. Bollocks. I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking of Phil. Fuck. Rick,
What about the duck? What does the duck prefer? Would you feed Phil before you feed duck?
Duck? Well, Phil would probably volunteer like to feed the duck. Do you know what I mean? He seems like that kind of... I feel like together we'll work something out. You know what I mean? I feel like as a team, we'll figure it out.
I'm going to go for a cheese string.
Dan says baby bell shell wax to start a fire. I'm going to go with... So this is what I was going to say before Phil and the duck showed up. I hate cheese. I hate both cheese strings and baby bells, but you can just fucking letter that baby bell down the fucking island. Do you know what I mean? Just fucking smack it. Just fucking like the football, you know what I mean?
Skim it against the water.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It'd be fun. You could have like a few seconds of fun with the baby bell that you probably couldn't get with the cheese string. So I'm going to go with that one. But again, if Phil Dunphy wants something else, I would happily change. Like if he was a passionate cheese string fan or the duck was into cheese strings, I would change my my answer to suit them. But if we're just going based on what I want, we'll go with the baby bell. Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn? That's an interesting one, actually.
I would go for Sami Zayn because he's funnier. And he seems like, again, he would be a good survivalist. I think we'd be on the same page.
I don't know. I'm very torn on this. They're very, like, as people, they seem very similar.
I'm going to go Kevin Owens confidently. I think Sami Zayn would start, like, going into, like, night two, he'd start. I think I'd get on with him for the first day and a half. And then on the second night, he'd start going into his theories about the world and stuff like that. And as fascinating as that might be for a while, I'd say he's one of those that sticks on the point. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're kind of like, you know what I mean? If you're kind of feeding the duck bread or something, he'd be like, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Do you know what I mean? I could see him being quite lectury. What's going on with Katie?
Sorry. Amber's growling at the corner, so it's either like someone coming home or a ghost. So I always like to check.
We're gonna see. All right, we're getting haunted. Katie's haunted house. Halloween special. Low blows. Love it. Yes, I got Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens just seems laid back. He seems chilled. He's funny. He doesn't. I'd say he wouldn't overreact to the situation. He'd just hang out. He'd have a laugh. He'd see the humor in it. And also he'd be very determined to get home to his family. So like, I'd say Sami Zayn would be quite happy to stay on the island. So Kevin Owens will figure out a way to get back. Like to where we need to be. Sami Zayn is going to be so chilled out. He's like, let's just live here, man. This is our life. And I'd say he'd wreck my head within a few days. He's like, oh, you don't want to be doing that. I wouldn't do that if I were you. I could
Kevin
see
Owens
Zayn being absolute melt.
Kevin Owens would drown you and use your body as a raft to get home to his family. So I'm going to go with Sami Zayn. 100%. You've completely made my mind up for me. I think they're both very similar, but I feel like Kevin Owens would be more likely to just sort of fuck you over to get to the end result. You know what I mean? So I'm going with Sammy.
Meanwhile, as annoying in as Katie's house, Katie is searching her house for ghosts, I think.
It's just weird that they both like growled at the door like that. And now they actually might just need to go to the toilet, but now I'm too afraid to let them out.
What is this? The Low Blows Treehouse of Horror? Like, what the fuck?
Oh, Halloween edition! Yeah! Oh, wait, no. Oh, we're a week off. We're week... No, don't get haunted now. Get haunted next week.
I'll do my best. I'm never here by myself, so, like, I'm not a brave person, so.
Amazing. We're now, like, witnessing Katie getting spooked at Halloween. Amazing. What a Halloween special. I'm into this. I'm totally sold.
Right.
Low boobs. Katie's elbows are haunted.
Yeah.
I didn't bring them up first. I just want to point that out.
Right. Two scoops of raisins or a waffle?
Raisins.
Why?
You could ration out the raisins better, and I just really enjoy raisins.
I can't believe I'm going to say raisins. I actually feel so embarrassed. But I think the rationing argument is very solid. I could share with Duck. I could share with Phil. Share with Sammy. Yeah.
Share with Brian, who the chat has named the Duck Brian. So Jimmy suggests raisins. The raisins would feed Brian. Yeah, I've been sold as well.
Right. Yeah, I think raisins. And again, wait, did you say that, Kate, did you say that they could eat fruit? Are raisins fruit?
Yeah, I think you can give raisins to ducks.
Ah, well, there you go. There you go. I'm going to go with raisins then, fair. socks or a pork pie hat?
Socks.
Yeah, probably socks, if I'm being honest with you.
I'm going to eat the pork pie hat. Like, I'm thinking about food. I don't want socks on a desert island. For a start, they're useless. Like, sand is going to go everywhere. And then, like, having socks on is just something for me to, like, notice the sand that's stuck on my feet that's impossible to get off. Oh,
pork pie hat is... Oh, I googled it there because I didn't know what it was. A pork pie hat is a fucking fedora-looking thing, is it?
Oh, is it?
I don't want that shit.
it's not... I'm having it being pointed out that it's not made of pork pie. It is a type of hat.
Oh, yeah. No, if it was made of food, obviously. That changes the question. Right. No, I'm still going to go with socks.
Okay, I'm going to go with socks then. I might find a use
for it. Cold.
Yeah. Or like entertainment for Brian. Entertainment for Brian. It's like a puppet. Like, when I start talking to myself, like...
But then what if that freaks him out? You know, you have to think about these things. I'm still going to go with socks, though. One of your co-hosts.
Ooh.
You would think the answer is obvious because, you know, I hate Katie and all that. But I do think Katie would be pretty good at survival. I think, like, for Rick in particular, this answer is proper common sense. like, do you want to survive the desert island? Yes, you should probably go with Katie. I'm going to go with Katie. Reluctantly, but I do think it is that I do have to admit, as much as I wouldn't want Katie there, it would be really funny to see the dynamic between Katie and Phil. And also, I think Katie would be really good at keep making sure that Brian's all right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is obviously our top priority right now.
You want me basically to work for you, to entertain Phil Dunphy, to look after your duck, and to make sure you don't die.
No, that I think is... it's time Phil. No. Well, look after the duck. Yeah, that actually, yeah, I need to look after the duck. I'm sorry.
And make sure everything else is all right, as in you have food, you have shelter.
Yeah.
And then wrestle Kevin Owens for your entertainment. Like.
Oh my God, you versus Sami Zayn. That would be deadly. Yeah, oh man. Yeah, Katie's in.
Yeah. Me versus Sami Zayn would just be shouting the pressing like. That's a way better match.
I don't know which one of yous would slow me down the most.
Really? Really?
Actually, yeah, it would be you, Keane. I'm sorry. I'll keep Rick.
Okay, Keane, you make a very good point about Katie's survival skills. However, what I also have to keep into account is Phil Dunphy's there as well. Kevin Owens is there as well. I trust their survival instincts on my desert island, okay? We've also got a duck and an umbrella. So, like, I'm sure we can, like, there's a survival plan there. And the only thing that's swaying me here is, no, don't get me wrong, I'd say I'd have to crack with Katie, but, like, for the first, like, 6 days, on day 7 of, well, this one time I broke my elbows, I'd be like, no, stop. Whereas I kind of like the idea, I think I'm set for survival, and I kind of like the idea of, like, just being able to throw random scenarios. Keane, who in a match between Brian and Phil Dunphy, if Phil Dunphy had no eyes, and Keane just coming up with an elaborate scenario? Like, we have to think about, like, at the fancy night looking. Time... At night time, we're going to be sat around the campfire telling stories, and I want keen fantasy booking scenarios. So we've all picked each other, which is kind of like even and nice in a way. And maybe not the way in the way we would have predicted that we'd have picked each other either. So interesting one. Katie is now Keane's mom. You went straight for a mother figure, Keane. I love how your instinct for this is mommy.
Phil's the dad, you know what I mean? That's the dad side of things sorted. Phil's most dad going as well, so that side's covered. I don't know, but yeah, that's again another fucking banging question, Kendo. I could answer these all day.
Love that, love it.
Just an update, there's not a ghost in my house. It was somebody at the door, and they're on the way. Like, they live in the house, so it's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. It's just Phil Dunphy. That'd be a mad plot twist. It's Brian. Oh, I'm serious. But yeah.
There's a good question. Phil Boyd or Phil Dunphy? There's a question for next week, Kendall. There you go.
Phil Dunphy would infuriate Phil Boyd, I'd say, if they had to live together on a desert island.
That'd be so funny. You have to choose.
That'd be so funny. Right, well, thank you for the question, Keto. At Roscom Dan, my parody trick is that I can flick playing cards like Gambit. Is that a word? I feel like I'm pronouncing that wrong.
Definitely. Superhero from DC, the DC universe.
Oh.
No, Marvel universe. No, Marvel. He's in the Deadpool movie, right?
Am I pronouncing that right, though? Gambit.
Gambit, yeah.
Oh. Ah! Look at me. I'm very, very cultured with these whole superheroes. Let's see.
X-Men. Thanks, Dan.
Oh, X-Men, right. Well, what is your party trick, basically?
When I used to get drunk as a teenager, I used to do the Matrix until one day I misjudged it and just bent backwards and smashed my head off the kitchen floor. You know what the Matrix is? Like when someone went for a clothesline, she did the back bend.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So me and my drunken stupor used to think, like, I can totally do this. And I actually got it once or twice. And then the third time, like, I absolutely just swung myself back and just basically took a high angle back bump on a tile floor.
That was, like, but not because it's Trish Stratus, but that was in style for, like, you just brought me back around the time, around when we would have been teenagers at that age. That was cool. There was always someone in the group who was like, look what I can do, and then just did a bridge for no reason. I got so many, like, flashbacks on that when you said that. Hilarious. Amazing. I've struggled with mine before. I can rap all of rappers to life. all like 14 minutes of it. I'm not doing it. No one wants that. But like, but I can. Like,
I can jump.
Kind of high. Can't.
No, like I can, but I don't want to. But I can. I can jump, I suppose. Just regular, you know, just you know, maybe slightly above average. No, but maybe not. I don't know. I really don't. Jonathan says, I can twist my right ankle 180 degrees after I snapped it. Not much of a party trick, but it's good to make people cringe. I cringe just reading that, actually. Yeah. Any other party tricks, everything? There's definitely, I can throw this remote across the room. There you go. I'm not going to do it, but I can. I don't know. I really, really don't know. But yeah, thank you for the question.
We need to get Keen a party trick.
Oh, nice.
We need to have, like, no, Keen, you can make up Keenspiracies.
Oh, there you go then. Yeah.
I'll give you a start and an end, and you can, like, come up with an instant conspiracy theory. That actually sounds like a legitimate conspiracy theory at command. Like, that's an impressive party trick.
Yeah, well, we'll go with that then. Fair enough.
There you go.
Thank you for the question, Dan. At Joe Stodge, who has the worst speaking voice you've ever heard? Eddie Hobbs is a strong contender for this. How we got all those old people to buy holiday homes in Bulgaria is beyond me. I don't know your man's name, but I was watching UFC. This is like the first set of Fight Island shows, and there was a lad in the prelims who won his fight. He won it in devastating fashion, whatever, battered your man. I can't remember it that well, to be honest. But I just remember after the fight, and you know the way you have expectations for someone's voice and you think he's gonna sound a certain way. I thought this guy was gonna be like, yeah, you wanna come for me? I'm gonna beat the fuck out. Yeah. Like I'm gonna call out this man, call out that man, you know, whatever. And he's gonna, you know, he's gonna go, oh, he's gonna be mad, aggressive, mad, intimidating. And he just gets to the mic and he's like, yes, I won the fight. thank you for the UFC for having me. I'm like, oh my god. I'm not saying anything against the voice. It is very nice in it's funny. It's fun in some ways, but if you're a big intimidating UFC fighter, it might not be the best voice to have. If that was my role in life, I think I'd rather have a more kind of low-key Damian Priest type voice. But yeah, I'd love to name him, but I genuinely can't remember for the life of me who he is.
Mike Tyson is like that. Brock Lesnar. I like those people though, where it's like unexpectedly timid voices from absolute badasses. I enjoy that. It's always entertaining. For me, I think I've got a winner here. In second place is Brian Cowan, because Brian Cowan sounds like his mouth is farting permanently. Oh, he sounded like he was the epitome of corporate gluttony at the start of the recession. Do you know what I mean? Like when the country was falling apart in 2008 and Brian Cowan was Taoiseach, and he just sounded like he was having pints and eating a 17 course meal. Like, and that's not to like shame him or anything like that. It's nothing to do with how he looked or his physique or anything. It was just the sound of his voice, the nasally gluttonous twang that he gave off. Like that was just, it sounded like a lad who didn't have a clue what he was doing, but thought he knew best, and was just so like, he just sounded like the worst of Fianna Fáil in a voice. But that is only second. Number one is also a politician. And I don't think many people would disagree with the Irish equivalent of Vicky Guerrero. Can I just say, Joan Burton, it talks like this all the time. Yeah. Can I just say, I don't think that's the way to go. Joan Burton, all day, every day. It's not even close. Number one.
I enjoyed that impression. That was a good one.
That's my fame. My first successful impression. With two impressions I can do, Joe Burton and Littlefinger.
mine's not a very exciting one. There's just a particular DJ that I really hate on Radio Nova. And I don't know his name. But
Boylan?
He's on in the evening.
Is he the talk show host?
It's not Noel Boylan. No, he's Classic Hits.
Right. Is he English? I don't know. Or he has a very, like...
I know who you're on about.
Upper-class accent.
He's an English-Irish hybrid accent.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
And I was listening to him one day, and they were talking about like people who have like phobias and like just, you know, stuff they can't stand. And some woman was on the phone talking about how she couldn't stand vomiting or the sound of it. So he started retching on the air, and like she got really panicked and hung up. And I just sitting there thinking, like, what a fucking dickhead. You know what I mean? Like, and ever since that moment, look, I almost wrote into the station. I was so angry.
Can you hear me answer to a manager?
I was so upset on that woman's behalf. And it was that thing where like he kept it going for 2 or 3 minutes, like it was a bit. But it wasn't. It was just really fucking annoying to listen to. And ever since then, I love Radio Nova. I cannot listen to his show. I have to turn it off. And I can't remember his name, but I hate him. Like
on radio DJs, Adrian and Jeremy, they're definitely up there as well. Because they just sound like they're just know-it-alls, but actually, like the content of what they're like, the tone of their voice is always very know-it-all. It's very like, I've got the correct opinion, but they actually, the content of what they say is absolute shite, for the most part. So like, it's a really bad combination. But also as well, every Spin 103A DJ ever, not the good ones now, mind, not the ones who went on to be successful elsewhere, because they have had a lot of talent in Spin throughout the years. I don't mean to demean Spin as a whole station, but the generic kind of afternoon DJs who just do whatever you're the DJ, so, and they just put on the generic, I hate DJ voices in general. And that's why I went into podcasting, because again, people turn around and saying you shouldn't have an accent, and I'm like, well, that's how real people talk, and I like to listen to real people. I don't like to listen to someone be like, Spin 103.8, how's it going, guys? How are you? Oh my god, the weekend's coming up. Well, it's that kind of fake D4 accent that's so animated that it couldn't possibly be real. And when you meet these people, they don't talk that way at all. I feel like I'm making enemies of people who've been quite nice to me. I've been on Spin a fair few times, and I like a lot of people that work there, but it's the more the stereotype of the Spin 103.8 DJ, where it's like, how's it going, guys? Oh my god, it's so sunny out today. And yeah, no, that accent, every generic Spin 103.8 DJ ever, for me as well, with John Burton. The Dean Coyle is a good show. Yes, great show. Jonathan in the chat, for murdering the word flair. Aaron Harvey.
Yeah, fair enough. Thank you for the question, Joe. Adam at Clueless Nerd. Oh, Adam, don't know about this. Nope, don't know about this. I see a one in the dock, followed by a bracket with a question. That's all well and good. And then the explanation that follows that question, again, all well and good. I also see a number 2 and a bracket underneath that explanation, but I don't see a change in username. That means he must have asked that as well.
Okay, so I feel like I should explain on Alan's behalf here. Alan did not try double dip. He's not a 2-question wanker.
That's Adam. Okay.
Adam did not try. There is no Alan. I'll defend Alan to the death. Adam, have Adam. No, Adam will defend to the death. He didn't double dip. This was the first question, was a question from last week that we didn't get to.
Oh,
and then he
right.
Sent in the second question. So that's fair enough. I'm not
okay, Adam, Adam, you've been saved. You've been saved at the last minute, right? Okay.
I've also insulted him by calling him the wrong name. So it balances out.
Right. Okay. Whew, well, we can calm down. Anyway, Alan asks, is there anything you took interest in that people would be surprised to know how you got into it? I got into metal music while teaching myself how to drum. Music didn't interest me at first. I just wanted to learn that style of drumming. Now I love music. I've an answer for this that's not really like, it's not really like it's an interest I have in like kind of a historical thing. Basically, I've always had a fascination with WWE's version of ECW, right? And the reason that is the 06, 07, that era of ECW is a fascination of mine, is because growing up, I only had WWE experience on Sky One every Sunday morning. It was a 1-hour recap show of Raw and SmackDown, right? Now, as a 22-year-old, as an adult looking back, I can kind of understand Yes, it wasn't on the 1 hour show because it wasn't important enough. That'd be like 205 Live or some shit being on WWE Experience nowadays. You know what I mean? It's just like there's no real need for it. But as an 8 year old, I thought that it wasn't on WWE Experience because it was just too extreme. and basically, like, anytime I only ever got like tiny like glimpses of it, like if a friend had like Sky Sports and it was on, like, or like a highlight of it or something like that. Like, it was very, very rare. I actually got to see ECW. So I had this like image built up in my head that like ECW was this fucking unreal. Like, they had like, you know, like all these like mad like barbed wire fucking matches and all that. And like, I think it was, I was going to say like PGTV. I mean, it wasn't PG for the first couple of years, but it kind of basically was compared to the old ECW. But like, also as a kid, I didn't really understand like the old ECW and the new ECW. It was all just ECW to me. And then I got, like, and I didn't have internet either. Forgot to mention that. I didn't have internet when I was that age either. So this is all, I know I couldn't look it up or I couldn't, like, experience it at all. Like, it was literally just this idea that I had in my head of what ECW was. And I was like, oh, it's going to be deadly. And then I grew up, watched a bit of it when I finally got the chance. Wasn't quite how I imagined. But I'm still, there's something about the aesthetic of ECW, like, in 06 and 07, like, the logo and kind of, the look of the arena and things like that, that I'm really sort of attached to because of that. but yeah, that's my weird sort of interest.
Love it. I've got Keith kind of has actually come up with a great one that we shared. We bonded over recently, Microsoft Excel. I'm getting really passionate about Excel recently because it's an important part of the job that I do. So like, it's something that I had to get good at. And now like I'm after kind of getting loads of pro tips and stuff like that. So I'm really good at it. And I've started to use it for absolutely everything. I've started like inventing prediction leagues just as an excuse to make an Excel spreadsheet. So yeah, that'd be me. And thanks for actually coming up with an answer. Because previously, before you said that, Keith, my answer was I have a podcast and Twitter. There's not an interest that I don't speak about because I need it for content. So yeah, now that is actually a great joke, Keith. I agree with that.
Excel is also very important to my job, and I have been bluffing for 6 years now. I know how to change the colors of the cells, and that's about it. I have a girl on my staff who is excellent at it, and I make her help me with absolutely everything because Excel is a beast. So yeah, fair play for Jesus taking an interest in that. I googled something about it once and then panicked and asked her to do it for me. My interest is I got it really into DIY through spite, because one day my tire went flat in my car and I had to get a guy from work to change it for me, and it was in the car park at work, and I was so embarrassed I couldn't do it myself. Like, and people were slagging me because they were like, oh, we thought you would have been able to change your own tire, getting a man to do it for you. And that just like set me on fire. So nice. I learned how to like take care of my own car. I learned how to change my tires. I started collecting tools and stuff. And like now I do everything myself like that. I will not ask anyone for help. Like, I will not like ask Phil or my dad or anyone. Like, I've done most of the renovations in this house myself. I've repainted everything. I've upcycled furniture. Like, during this lockdown, I'm going to take the carpet off stairs and I'm going to restore all the wood. And like, I literally do it through like Google and Woody. And like, it's such a source of pride to me now that I will not ask anyone how to do that. Like, and I will not ask them to help me. And just all through spite. It's a powerful motivator. So
That's deadly. Like, I'm going to, like, if I ever need work done, because I'm useless at DIY. I'm weird. Like, I like, it's on a similar note, I like hoovering. Like, I find hoovering really relaxing and I enjoy it. And I also like gardening now. As when I had my own house and I had to look after a garden, I got really into gardening. But, I need the basics, not like, I will, when I'm older, like, get into proper gardening and planting, like, flowers and all that kind of stuff. But, like, I really like kind of those kind of jobs. But, okay, yeah, I'm gonna ask you to do it next, sir. I'm going to throw you a sneaky 50 quid and get you to, get you to do some plumbing around the apartment sometime, like, since I know you like it now.
Yeah, there's something real satisfying about just, like, like upcycling furniture, especially like I, because when we moved in, we didn't really have enough money to like buy everything new. So like my dad got stuff at auctions and like just stuff was left here. And like I've repainted and refinished it all to match. And like, it looks great. I mean, yeah. I'm going to pat myself on the back. Like it's nice. A fun hobby.
Nice. Fair play. It's so useful too. Like, yeah, fair play, respect.
Dan says that I was asked to merge cells once and thought my boss was asking me to knock a wall. Work jokes. Well played. Fantastic.
yeah, the second question. It's very much a Katie question. Overall thoughts on the G1? Any matches worth checking out for someone who didn't catch much of it?
Oh, are you genuinely asking me? Because all
yeah,
I know
for Katie.
All I know about the G1 is that Osprey turned heel and has a new stable, and it's like the great O'Carn and B Priestley. That's all I know what happened in the G1. I don't even know who won it.
That's solid.
Yeah, neither do I actually.
That's solid. Right, okay. So this is, yeah, okay. Right. Thank you, Adam. And I apologize again for getting your name wrong. Thank you. I appreciate that. I didn't have to make up a totally real person who asked a real question as an excuse to talk about it this week.
Finally, it's a change. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Aaron. I, like, honest to God, from Bombay.
yeah, no, it's really good. If you're looking for a night of wrestling to check out, night 13 is absolutely fantastic. It was highlighted by one of maybe my favorite match this year, Okada against Takagi, which is as good as, if you know those two wrestlers, it's as good as you want it to be. It was absolutely phenomenal stuff. Shingo Takagi is one of the most underrated wrestlers on the planet now. Well, not underrated because like he has like a huge following, cult following, but like, yeah, he's fantastic. And in a main event slot against Okada, like, was just, it's what you wanted it to be. But the entire night was classic. It was one of those classic G1 nights where it's just every match is being better than the last match and so on. But even then, like even the undercard matches, there was a Kenta against Toru Yano. And Yano just does comedy matches at the G1. And it's nice. I love Yano. It's a way to break up from having serious match. But they even got creative with that and managed to come up with a creative finish, which is difficult because they have to do 9 Yano matches every year. So it's tough to find something that hasn't been done or we feel like we haven't seen before with them. And yet they managed to do that. So even when that was entertaining, and then it was just a great lineup. The G1 last week, if you haven't seen it, if spoiler alert, it ended 3 days ago. You probably know what happened if you're gonna watch it. But it was fantastic ending to it. So what New Japan have gotten really good at lately is heel turns in plain sight. There's very, like last week on the air, I spoke about how it's like a league where you have 20 people all on their own individual journeys, but then they clash with each other and you see how those journeys collide. And then I spoke about how Will Ospreay had been a bit of a dick the entire time. And yet I still, even with those words coming out of my mouth, didn't see what they were building to with Ospreay and Okada on the last night. Both are still in contention because I was too busy looking at the table and trying to figure out the maths of how this would play out that I wasn't even thinking about, like, oh, they're fighting each other. Ospreay has never beaten Okada. Is this going to be the time where he finally gets W over him? Why? And I'm not thinking about Ospreay's individual story. Why is he being such a dick? I just kind of went with it because that's kind of his real life character now as well. So I'm like, okay, this is just who he is now and he's owning it. But turns out it was part of a storyline and they were building towards it. So in the middle of the match, it looks like Okada has the better of it. And Okada's storyline had been, he's still not using the Rainmaker and frustrating everyone by sticking with the Money Clip is the name of a shit submission now. It's basically just a Cobra Clutch, but it's really slow and really shit. But he knows now he's working it. Like, he'll set up. So the way he sets it up is like he'll do the Tombstone, but then he'll grab the person's wrist like he's going for the Rainmaker. So you instantly go, but then he goes into the shit submission. You're like, for fuck's sake, this fucking shit. So you're, but even like he gives Ospreay the respect of
like he in desperation, he starts going for the Rainmaker and missing it. So you're like, oh, he's trying to hit it. And you think that's the storyline of the match. Then out of nowhere, fucking B Priestley comes down and distracts the referee. And then in the middle of it, the Great O'Karen, who is like, he's basically like New Japan Great Khali, except good, if that makes sense. Him and Katsuya Kitamura were young lions that came up together. And they're people that, like, in Japanese wrestling, you don't kind of get to see. In American wrestling, you see all different types of shapes and sizes. And we're used to that from American wrestling. That's kind of what it is. In Japanese wrestling, it's a lot of people who are similar build, similar style, and then they kind of, the character is the only thing which really and the character and the story is the only thing which really differentiates them from the crowd. But with Kitamura and with O'Karen, they were like two people. Kitamura was the jacked, like, bodybuilder type who, again, have you ever seen a Japanese wrestler who's like Batista? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just not a thing. Whereas O'Karen is just a giant. And he's just like this kind of, you know, again, Great Khali, Kane, Undertaker type, which, again, we're just not familiar with. So he comes down, attacks Okada, Ospreay gets his big win over him, and then starts screaming at him, you held me back, which, of course, is ridiculous because Okada brought Ospreay into New Japan, set him up with Chaos, set him up, and kind of is responsible for a lot of his single success. But that's the story they're going with. So now Ospreay seems to have a little stable. There's rumors that he might make his own stable, and that's kind of where Ospreay's gone. I like it. I'm okay with when people are unpopular with the fans, just make them a heel. Let the fans boo them and let the fans just hate them. Like, go with it. Which is like Ospreay. Whatever he's done, like, he has still got a career. It's arguable that, like, he's entitled to still have a career, but let fans hate him and just lean into that side of things. I'm okay with it, and it was a good storyline. Then you had Ibushi against Taichi, which was a great semi-final match. Only twice before had it ever happened, though, where someone hadn't wrestled in the last match of the block, and yet won. So basically, like, it had only happened twice before where someone had, like, the block match, the final block match happened, and then someone else had to come out and celebrate, if that makes sense. Because it's kind of awkward, the setup. So we're like, right, he's probably not winning. But Ibushi ended up winning, and you're like, whatever, Ibushi is still in play. But it's Jay White against Ishii in the main event. Ospreay has knocked Okada out, and Ospreay probably, like, the way things are breaking, isn't going to get through after Ibushi. I think Ibushi had a tiebreaker over him. So it's like, Switchblade Jay White, if he wins this, he's going to go through. And Ishii's had a really disappointing G1, which, again, New Japan fans will hate because Ishii is, like, everyone's second favorite wrestler. So, like, he's had a disappointing G1. So it's like Switchblade Jay White is going to win. Ishii ended up winning. So him winning the main event of the last block night was like his big G1 moment. He eliminated Switchblade Jay White. Kota Ibushi goes to the final. Then on Saturday, block B. It was Naito against Kenta and then Evil against Sonata. If Naito didn't win, he'd be out. And sure enough, Kenta ended up beating him, which meant Evil and Sonata was your typical winner-take-all main event end of block B match. Sonata ended up getting revenge over Evil. It was a great match because there was a lot of Bullet Club interference. It was one of these where they pulled you this way, like, you were sure Sonata's going to win, then you were sure Evil's going to win, and they pulled you back and forth in a very old school wrestling way. So it was a very good match. Sonata ended up getting revenge on Evil. Remember that Evil's heel turn started when he started giving Sonata low blows in the New Japan Cup. This is before he turned on LIJ, but he just started being vicious with his old tag team partner. So there was a lot of bad blood in this. Sonata ended up getting the revenge. It looked then heading into the final like it was going to be Sonata against Naito. That was going to be the Wrestle Kingdom match because it's Sonata against Ibushi in the final. They ended up having a match that, I'm not going to say it was a great G1 final. It was the longest ever G1 final. It was a good match. It went back and forth. It had you convinced at different times that either man was going to win. And then Ibushi ended up winning. And Ibushi's going back to the main event of Wrestle Kingdom after he's won. He's been in the final G1 the last two times. He's won back-to-back, which rarely
rarely happens in G1. And now it's going to be Ibushi against Naito, it looks like. However, in the next couple of weeks, on the 7th of November, we've got New Japan Power Struggle. Afterwards, they set up storylines where I think it's going to be Ibushi is going to wrestle Jay White. He's going to put his briefcase on the line. And Evil is going to wrestle Naito because Evil beat Naito for the IWGP double belts. So they've never done it where they've changed the Wrestle Kingdom main event. They've never had the champion lose, and they've never had someone lose the briefcase before. But in wrestling, we know that's only a countdown until they eventually do it. So is it going to happen? Who knows? Power Struggle is on Saturday the 7th, though. Well, we're checking out. There's a lot of big matches on there. The Osprey Okada thing is probably going to run to Wrestle Kingdom, but I believe they'll push that along, and they'll have the next stage in that story. And then after that, a week later, you've got the Best of Super Juniors and you've got the World Tag League. You've got two tournaments that didn't get to happen due to COVID. They're going to merge them into one super tournament. So half the card is going to be World Tag League. The other half is going to be Best of Super Juniors. You're essentially getting a super card every day, and that's going to run for about 2-3 weeks. And that's going to be the setup to Wrestle Kingdom then in January 4th. So really exciting times to be a New Japan fan. Absolutely loving it. Their shows are just normal now. They have like full like capacity shows like with fans. So it's like, if you like to get into normal wrestling now, and it's getting into their WrestleMania season. But in terms of watching it, yeah, what's the last three nights? I'll always spoil them. That's always the best part of G1. And night 13 is just an all-time classic night of wrestling. So that'd be the one I check out from there.
Thank you for the question, Aiden. At Brianomaniac, there we go. What two fictional rivals would you like to see have a Hell in a Cell match?
I love it.
This seems a good question.
Yeah, this seems like a very Katie question.
I think I speak for everyone who's ever seen Cobra Kai when I say that Miguel and Robbie have to settle in a Hell in a Cell match.
Oh, is that the way you go?
Well, it's rivals, isn't it?
But would you not go Danny LaRusso against Johnny Lawrence in like the main event? This is the feud ender. They need to just settle their beef, put them in a Hell in a Cell, and just have it be over with. And then afterwards they can shake hands.
You think that, but no, it's about Robbie and Miguel now. Like, that's who it's about. And then you need to get the emotional. Remember Shawn Michaels ref in Hell in a Cell? Like, that's the emotion that you need to get from LaRusso and Johnny Lawrence. You know what I mean? That kind of like, these two kids are like killing each other, beating the shit out of each other, and like, it's gone past the spirit of competition. It's gone past like everything that their rivalry was about, and like, they know it's gone too far, and are they actually going to have to work together to try like stop the two young lads destroying each other? Like, that's where I would go a Hell in a Cell.
Okay, I love it.
There's so much you could tread into it, but like, and like, that's it. And I don't want to give it away about the end of Cobra Kai, because I think everyone needs to go and just watch it. Like, I don't think it's a spoiler to say that Robbie and Miguel are rivals, and they should be the two in the cell.
Would you do like a card where you have the, what are the two girls' names? Sorry, my mind's blanking completely there.
Sam and Tori.
Yeah, would you have them like kind of like, if it's a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view card, you'd have them be another Hell in a Cell.
You could do like, that's playing very close to the end of the last episode of season 2. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, they were the two that started the scrap.
Yeah.
But I just think that Tori is such a hateable character. It's too clean cut, heel and face. I think the more interesting dynamic is between Robbie and Miguel.
Okay, yeah. No,
I think about Cobra Kai way too much. Like every day of my life. So I don't have another answer for this, I don't think. Well, look, because nobody watches The Boys, do they?
No, but I do need a new series.
The Boys is excellent. Like, it's brilliant. Like,
I was going to say, someone recommended to me, so it must be good. And then I realised it was just you, so...
Oh, just you.
That's the same person, yeah.
The Boys is on Amazon Prime, and it's the only show on Amazon Prime that rivals next Netflix rating. There's that many people now getting Amazon Prime to watch it. Like, it's so good. It's like, if you love superheroes, but you're kind of sick of superheroes, it's like a whole new twist on them. It's brilliant. But like, from that, like, Stormfront and Starlight, or Kimiko and Stormfront, need to go into a Hell in a Cell. Okay, I wish there was more. I wish there was boys fans here to get excited about that. Like,
they're already listening.
Like, oh, but like the response you're actually getting.
there she is saying names.
It's me talking about New Japan. That's the thing. But like, you've just got to go to your happy place and just be like, just do what I do when I'm talking about New Japan and just be like, people like this. There will be someone who really appreciates this. Someone asked about this. this isn't for these unappreciative bastards. This is for that person who cares. So there's someone out there, Katie.
Like, we have 6 weeks. Just watch the boys. Like, I don't stay as wrong on TV shows. Like, I don't.
You're
so
two
just
for
watch
two
it.
Now with me. You've won a lot of credit with Cobra Kai and Umbrella Academy. So yeah, and I have an Amazon Prime account now, so yeah, I do want to make use of it. There's a good chance that's going to get watched.
Rick, who's your two fictional characters?
I can't beat that. I like Miguel and Robbie. Johnny Lawrence. I like the Cobra Kai Hell in a Cell. Like, just deal with it. There's so many different rivals in there. Do you know what I mean? Like, no, do Johnny Lawrence against what you call it? What's his name? Kreese. That's the feud for me now. And then do like Danny LaRusso, special referee or something like that, if you want to get the Shawn Michael vibes, you know? And at the end of it, like, he ends up, like, Kreese ends up pissing him off. Like, Kreese has the upper hand, okay? And then, like, Danny LaRusso, he's caught in the middle and he doesn't know who he wants to win. He hates both men, but he's getting a respect for Johnny Lawrence. It's just building. It's reaching a peak. And then the middle of it, Kreese gets pissed off because it's in the two count, turns around, turns on Danny LaRusso. Johnny Lawrence is laying in the corner. Turns on Danny LaRusso, pushes him. Danny LaRusso pushes him back like Earl Hebner used to. Turns into Johnny Lawrence, hits him with a spinning roundhouse kick, and then 1, 2, 3 counts the pinfall, and we get a Danny LaRusso and Johnny Lawrence, our friends moment that we're looking for. So that'd be the way I go with Cobra Kai. I can't think about anything else but Cobra Kai now, though. Are we watching Hell in a Cell this weekend? Is the big question.
Is it on?
This
weekend.
And also, as well, just a heads up, because it's daylight savings time, starts at 11 p.m. on Sunday.
Did they not vote to get rid of that or something? Did I not read that the Irish are just getting rid of daylight savings time?
I don't think they've gotten rid of it, but I don't think it actually happened.
Okay. Because that's mental. How does that happen? I don't understand the logistics of it.
You just say no.
We're not turning the clock back. But then, if that keeps happening, does it ever like write itself, or all of a sudden is it like 2 p.m. but it's actually in the middle of the night? Like, how does time work?
I don't know.
I just want to know if you're watching Hell in a Cell.
And I'm having an existential crisis here over what time means.
Are you watching Hell in a Cell Sunday? How does time work?
Who's in the cell?
Roman Reigns against Jey Uso is in a Hell in a Cell I Quit match. There's 3 Hell in a Cell matches. Drew McIntyre against Randy Orton. And then you've got Bayley against... Yeah, they're going again. And then you've got Bayley against Sasha Banks as well. That's going to be a good match.
I will watch the shit out of it for Roman Reigns and Jey Uso and the girls match.
Yes. So, and 11 o'clock start. You can't beat that. Like, that's absolutely fantastic stuff. From WWE, so enjoy this, because I think it only lasts for a week, where the crossover means we get the hour earlier. So that's Sunday, so check that out. We're gonna have a prediction league up on Facebook as well, so there you go, guys.
Who I'd put in Hell in a Cell, I don't like, obviously fictional characters, can't think of that many off the top of my head. Negan and Maggie would be a good one. They didn't square off in the finale, which would have been a laugh. I'll be cheering Negan all the way. I think he's a very entertaining man to watch. So, and then, imagine like the scenes when he pulls fucking Lucille out from under the ring. You're like, that'd be deadly. Yeah.
Nice.
Eugene special ref, obviously.
In the chat, some people want to see Keith wants to see Bert and Ernie. John wants to see Ash and Gary, so Gary can beat the piss out of Ash. I think you should do a podcast on that exact note, John. I really miss Jelly Filled Honor. Eugene Kaiba would be good crack too. And then Keith Hanley just wants to celebrate that Mane scored for Liverpool in the Champions League.
It's only 1-0, is it?
Yeah, 1-0.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, I wouldn't be too confident if I was a Liverpool fan, but this is a podcast, so it'll probably age like fucking shit by the end of it. Anyway, thank you for the question, Brian. Jimmy asks, this week I played Gary Stewart in hashtag Lowe's Bowl Dynasty, the NFL Fantasy League, I invited to the league, then he won it and looks unbeatable now in Dynasty. So the question is, was there ever something you invited or introduced someone to that you regretted?
Oh, I feel like there's definitely a very specific example in my life that I just need to think about.
Oh, please tell me he's an answer for this, because I'm really struggling here.
I introduced an ex-girlfriend of mine to a person she's now married to. I don't think there was crossover. It's all good. Like, it's fine. Like, I'm fine about it. But, like, I just thought about it where I'm like, oh, yeah. Shit, wait. I was the one who introduced those two people. So, but they're very happy. So, congratulations to them. I'm the opposite. I'm the person people wish they didn't introduce. Like, a lot of my friends are surrogate friends from, like, knowing them through mutual friends that I'm no longer friends with, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? Like, they introduced me into their group, and then their friends decided, oh, he's down there. I want to keep that one. Like, my best friends, that's literally how I know them. Because, like, I just took them on another friend. Not that I took them, like, it was just, like, we all drifted, but I drifted with his old friends. It's just like, I know this is a weird dynamic, but we've just become close in the meantime. It's just, it happened. So I think I'm the person for some people with that.
I kind of have the opposite of the question, where I was supposed to start wrestling training with my ex and he couldn't make it that week. So I went ahead and went training, and then he became my ex very shortly after that. And I'm really glad how that worked out.
Nice.
Because that could have ended up weird. So I don't know if I have anything exactly the question, but like, I almost introduced someone there that I would have really regretted.
Yeah, geez.
I'm still trying to think. My thought process is more like, is there any interest to have or show I'm into that I regret getting someone else into, because they kind of ruined it on me? Like, in some cases, like, I regret telling people that I was into wrestling, because I remember one time, like, the WrestleMania that, like, the Hardys returned that. Yeah. I had my Irish Leaving Cert Oral like that the following morning, so I didn't stay up for it. So my plan was just go to school where there's fuck all wrestling fans, come home, watch it, pretend it's live. I can do that because I can avoid social media if I have to, you know what I mean? And I made it all the way through school, all the way. And then I'm on the way home, and literally I'm about 5 minutes from my house when this one, the one fucking wrestling fan, or one of like three in the year, comes up to me and said, "Don't fucking say words at WrestleMania. Like, I haven't seen it. I will see it. Don't fucking say anything." It's like, I won't say anything. And he just does the fucking, like, Hardy's symbol sign. I'm like, I know what that means, you stupid little fucking cunt. And then, yeah, basically, he ruined.
I would have broke his fingers.
The anger, because like that, what sort of response did you expect me to have? Did you expect me to go, I wonder what he means by that very specific hand gesture that I own? Could it be that maybe the team that was heavily linked with possibly but unlikely returning on the night, could that have happened? I don't know. But either way, yeah, so spoilers, like, it's not that I introduce people to these things, but I introduced to them the fact that I am interested in these things. Like, I remember this is Walking Dead spoilers, big Walking Dead spoilers, so skip ahead a few minutes or whatever. But I have a friend who was into The Walking Dead, and I used to always talk to him about The Walking Dead when I went in, like, on a Monday or a Tuesday after I've watched it. And, you know, we'd be buzzing over whatever's happened. After school, you know, I didn't really talk to this lad then very much. And I was in college when Carl died, right? And this whole... this lad, every single time we talk about The Walking Dead, no matter what happened, even if it had nothing to do with Carl, he would say, "I fucking hate Carl, I hope he dies." He would say this every single day, even on days where The Walking Dead wasn't even mentioned. He would literally, I was surprised he doesn't have a tattoo that says, "I hate Carl so much, I hope he dies." But he just sent me a text the day, like, I didn't get to watch it at this stage, that just said, "Yes, ha ha ha," or something at The Walking, yeah, something real vague like that. I'm like, again, again, I know what your vague hint means. Like, I fucking go on this rant every single... I mean, you heard me go on this rant with Rick, like, you know, with Elimination Chamber. I know what your hints aren't fucking subtle. Like, I know what they mean. So,
now but like, here's the thing. You're also a very, like, you're not that you're a spoiler magnet, but you're so resistant to spoilers that, like, it's like instant, like, you can put things together very quickly based off, like, very little evidence.
Because I'm trying so hard not to, that my brain's like, you know what? Do it.
Yeah.
It's like,
no. Exactly.
To be fair, the Hardys one was fucking, that was just, no, like,
that's
that
obvious.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
But what is like other situations, like, I'm trying like, it's very interesting because I've got I said this off air, but I started following MotoGP, the what you call it, like, whenever that was, a few weeks ago or a month or two ago, and what's very interesting is that I don't know a single person who watches MotoGP. I don't follow any bike riders on social media. I don't follow any MotoGP accounts on social media. So until I watch it, it's very interesting to do this. There's no other interest. I don't know if anybody else has done this, but, like, it is so disconnected from the rest of my life that unless I'm actually sitting there watching it, it's like it doesn't even exist. And it's very interesting. It's like, because sometimes I'm like, I wish I had people to talk about this with. But then at other times I'm like, but I kind of like how I can go 5 weeks without watching it. Like, I when I first started watching it, I was 5 weeks behind. And I didn't even notice, you know what I mean? Like, it's never... I don't know if it even has a big following. It should. But I recommend it very much. maybe I'll regret saying this, but I recommend watching MotoGP if he's having it. It's like Formula One, but, like, way better.
If you do follow it, though, while Keane is happy for you, he doesn't
don't
want
talk
you
to
add him.
Don't talk to me about it ever.
Right, we want to make this clear. He is not inviting you to start a MotoGP-based friendship.
Well, I'm just saying it's very interesting, though, because, like, the contrast, like, would I regret telling people to, like, get into it and you know what I mean, like, talk to me about it, or, like, would it improve it? You know, would I prefer wrestling more if it was just me watching it and, like, nobody talked about it with? I don't know. It's interesting because you kind of get, like, sometimes you're like, oh, this is a laugh, and other times, like, I wish this conversation never happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There are interests that you have, though. Like, I like the balance of both. Like wrestling is a source of so much of my daily conversation.
Oh, I wouldn't have friends without it.
Know people. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, there'd be so much in my life they'd be missing if it wasn't for wrestling. So I'm glad that, like, other people like that, even if I do have to risk spoilers as a result and other consequential things. But there, I get what you're saying. There are things that I have in my life that are just for me and just my interests. And I'm not seeking applicants. I don't want to discuss this. I just want it to be my thing. So I totally get that. Like, it is nice to have a thing that is just for you.
I think for major interests that take up a good part of your life, it's good to have friends who are also into that because it's a big part of your life. But then for more minor interests, it's good to just sort of chill on your own and watch it. You know what I mean? So I think...
Or bands are very good for that as well. Like, it's like, I feel like this band make music for me. I'm the only person I know who's into this. No, I think I know a couple other people, but we never talk about them. But Sigur Rós, like, for me, are just like the band that, like, it just feels like personal towards me. Do you know what I mean? As mad as it is, I just love their music, like, and it's just like, again, but that's mine. I don't want to talk about it with people. I don't want to be excited about it. I don't want to share it with anyone because it's just, that's my thing. Do you know what I mean?
Music, yeah, I tend to be pretty just sort of whatever I'm into. I don't tend to be like, you know, yeah, I get what you mean. It is interesting, yeah. It's I don't know, but thank you anyway for the question, Jimmy. We're pausing the FIFA for this one. lads, Declan fucking Byrne at Rovers are back. I'll read out the question first of all, and it just says, I have bought a wrestling company. I have made Corporate Keane my head writer. I have given him the task of booking a year-long feud between Terry Thatcher and Session Mott Martina. How does it go down? Right. So I think I said this off air last week. I don't think I said it on the podcast, but basically I was up late Tuesday night last week, and I had the choice of, like, doing an academic reading that I had to do for the seminars and lectures, you know, the following day. Or I could answer this question, and I could stay up late answering this question because you know, why not? What's more important, my education or making Declan happy? I think I have made the right choice because I stayed up to sort of come up with an answer for this instead. And yeah, let's begin, shall we?
Getting comfortable.
Right. Right. the company in question is Declan Championship Wrestling, DCW. Brand new, fresh name, fresh brand, you know what I mean? You need something that's never been done before, so we're going with DCW. we're all these shows are taking place in the Ringside Club because that's just how I visualized it. Because initially I misread the question and thought it was OTT. So we're gonna stick with the Ringside Club anyway. Jonathan getting PTSD. I don't really know why. This is, of course, the first major DCW in Irish wrestling history. So we begin in January, and we start with a thing on the screen, basically, of like, you know. Like you see it in OTT, like a backstage clip or a segment, and it just shows Session with Martina, and she's in a panic, right? She's in the change room, but her bag with all the cans in it was open. There's cans everywhere. They're empty. They're crushed. The cans have been stolen. Somebody drunk them all, and now like they're gone. They're done, and she's dead sober. She didn't have a single can, and she's like, who the fuck is after drinking all my cans? Who the fuck's after doing all this? She starts she's freaking out, throwing things across the room, trying to fight with people. Security gets Session with Martina. They escort her out of the building. That's how we open up our January show. Then we go to I'm just going to skip to the main event, obviously, because that's all that's relevant to the storyline. The main event for the DCW World Championship, even though in order for a belt to be a world title, it actually has to be defended on like three different continents. But we're going to call it a world title nonetheless, because I want to. And for the DCW World title, we're going to go with wrestlers who have never wrestled for DCW before. Terry Thatcher versus Adam Maxted. Two of Ireland's best. This is genuinely like a really, really solid main event for the title. And it's obviously it's sort of small man versus big man, and for most of the match, Adam Maxted is basically he's throwing Terry Thatcher around. He's you know, power bombs, throwing him out of the ring, throwing him across the ring, dropping him on his head, doing basically just fucking killing Terry Thatcher. And Terry, he at no point is sort of on the attack, but every time he gets pinned, you know, it's 1-2 kick out of 2-1-2 kick out, all that, like, you know. So it's like it gets to a stage where Adam Maxted's like, what the fuck do I have to do to put this man away? He goes for another power bomb. He picks him up. Terry Thatcher counters it, rolls him up. 1-2-3 Terry Thatcher is the new DCW champion, making his DCW debut, first time with DCW, and he gets the title. It's everyone's debut, isn't it? It's the first show, so that was actually a very pointless statistic. I think I did that on Phoenix commentary as well. The first ever show, I was like, it's the first time ever here. It's like, actually, it's everyone's first time here, so that's not very. Hope nobody pointed that out. But yeah, he walks away with the title anyway. He doesn't walk away, because after the match, Adam Maxted, he's raging. He's like, this is bollocks, you know what I mean? I did everything I could, I still lost. But then he comes to a sense, he's like, you know what, Terry, you've thrown everything at me here, so I'm just going to stick out my hand for a handshake. Terry Thatcher, they shake hands, right? You know, they have that sign of respect. That's the end of the show. So we go on social media in the build-up to February show. And it's a backstage clip that happened after the show, where Terry Thatcher and Adam Maxted, they say, fuck it, let's form a tag team. We work, you know, we're class enemies. We could be class friends. So they form a tag team. And we now go into February. Terry Thatcher and Adam Maxted and the team. Here's one issue, right? They don't have a team name. They don't have matching gear. And they don't have matching music, which is obviously, as we know, can be a fuck up. And not only that, but they are taking on Darren Carney and Nathan Martin. They are taking on Northern Hype. You know, so it's really, they're up against it here. But somehow, it works really, really well. Terry Thatcher, of course, he's got speed. He's got the agility. Adam Maxted, you know, he's got the strength. He's got the power. And they really are. They're working well together. They might not be best friends, but they have that respect, that mutual respect and that chemistry that they didn't realize they had. And they get the surprise win over More Than Hype. And they're like, oh, shit. We could actually become the tag team champions here. We go to March. And in show number 3, it's another tag team match. Terry Thatcher and Adam Maxted versus the Kings of the North. And basically, it's Terry Thatcher starts the match, and he's getting the shit kicked out of him. Corbin and Bonesaw, they know what they're doing. They've been doing this a long time. They have him in their corner. They're double teaming. They're beating the fuck out of him. And it's, the whole match is just Terry Thatcher trying to tag in Adam Maxted when finally he does that thing, the enziguri, the bonesaw, and you know, the crowd are like, come on, tag in Adam Maxted. And he finally reaches over, gets the tag. Adam Maxted runs in, goes for a clothesline, and just takes Terry Thatcher's head off. Honestly, Terry Thatcher, you should have seen this coming. Have you even checked Instagram? The Kings love Adam Maxted. I actually think he's part of the faction now, unofficially. But yeah, he's like the prince of the north. You know what I mean? But now he's officially a king. It's Corbin, it's Bonesaw, it's Adam Maxted. Terry Thatcher, you're a dumb cunt. You should have seen this coming. You really should have. Very naive move. So Adam Maxted, they all three of them beat the shit out of Terry Thatcher. You know, the Shield, all that type of shit. You know what I mean? Going for that triple powerbomb. And Terry Thatcher, he is laid out. And that's how the March show ends. But before the April show, we go on social media and Terry Thatcher has made a video from home. He's banged up, he's bruised, but he's like, I'm calling out the Kings of the North. Corbin, Bonesaw, Adam Maxted, I don't give a shit. I will call out each and every single one of you. Oh God, my headphones are plugged out. Let's just ignore that. That's not what he says. That's what I'm saying now. I'm back. Did you mean? Don't tell. I hope you didn't take that as him saying that as promo. That would have been a very bad promo. I would hope that he would reshoot that if that was the case.
No, he's got one take. Linda is only recording one. She's got two kids to mind these days.
he's getting his daughter to record. Like, please, this is important. I need you to record this again.
Bollocks. Do your little wrestling promo and get the fuck.
It's important. It's important. They beat the fuck out of me. So he's like, right, I'm calling them out. And he's like, right, all three of you, 3-on-1 handicap match. If there's anybody in the back that respects me enough to be my partner and help me out, then fantastic. But if nobody does, and if it's just 3-on-1 in a handicap match, then so be it. Fuck yous. I'm gonna do it alone. The Kings come out. The Prodigy blares out the fucking speakers. And oh my God, I want to hear that song again. I've missed it. But anyway, they come out to the ring. All three of them, they wait for Terry Thatcher. Terry Thatcher comes out. Only human after all, you know, all that sort of stuff. And everyone's clapping. It's all great. I can't sing the entire song. It's a few minutes long. And, you know, this is a 12-month story. If I do it every single time, it'll...
I'm arguing that you never need to sing it.
But I need to give you that ambience. You know what I mean? I need to make you feel like you're there. Maybe it's a cover version. It's a copyright-free version where I sing it really fast. It doesn't have the same atmosphere, but you don't get sued for copyright.
The songs you made, it's just you and the recorder.
Terry Thatcher. No, we're not doing that. Rag and Bowman blares out the speakers. Everybody's buzzing. Declan's standing there. Even though it's his promotion, he's doing that thing that Paul Tracy does where he stands at the curtain and looks out, you know what I mean, folding his arms. Declan's doing that, right? And he's staring, but he's so invested. He's a fan again. Every time Terry Thatcher wrestles, Declan is no longer the owner. He is a fan. But we're waiting, and we're waiting in silence. Is somebody going to come to Terry Thatcher's aid, or is this going to be a 3-on-1 beatdown? No disrespect to Terry Thatcher, but nobody expects him to you know, the numbers game. You know, it's too much. All of a sudden, Royal Blood blares out the speakers, out of the black. Do any of you remember who had that team song in OTT?
Jordan.
Logan Bryce.
Oh.
Out of the black. Da-na-na-na-na. I'm not going to sing it. I'll ruin it again. But but Logan Bryce comes out, and again, you know, a veteran who respects Terry Thatcher's work on the Irish wrestling scene. Again, mutual respect. It's 3-on-2. Terry Thatcher and Logan Bryce. It's almost like this is Declan's own promotion. he's marking out, even though I've told him the run sheet beforehand. Declan, I've told you exactly what's happening, but you are still marking out. and we have a 3-on-2 handicap match. The Kings of the North against Terry Thatcher and Logan Bryce. But wait! Another partner has entered the fray. Cascada or Maniac 2000, whichever. Blair's over the speakers. Session Martina comes out. Again, three very experienced wrestlers on the Irish wrestling scene. All have that mutual respect. All hate the Kings. It's 3v3 and it breaks down. It's a big fuck-off brawl, right? A big, massive fuck-off brawl. Goes into the crowd, into the fans. COVID-19 regulations are being absolutely fucked about here. And yeah, basically Foxy, he's like 1, 2, 3, 4, gets to 20, gets to 30, gets to 40. He's like, right, what is the count here? And I'm like, right, it's a 60 count. It's a 60 count. Okay, just keep counting. he gets to 61. He's like, right, I'm going to have to call it here. It's There has to be rules. So
people are leaving.
So they're counted out and they're disqualified and all that sort of stuff. And that's the end of that story. That's not the end of the show. I mean, there's other matches, but in terms of the storyline, that's where we end at the April show. Then we go to social media again. And a rematch is announced. Session Ma, Terry Thatcher, and Logan Bryce against the Kings of the North. But this time, no disqualification. And if the Kings win, Adam Maxted gets his rematch for the DCW Championship against Terry Thatcher at the following show.
I forgot it was called DCW.
So, we open up at the May show with a video pack. Well, not a video package, but a shot from backstage, the changing room. And you know shit is serious because Logan Bryce is backstage, but the sellotape is not on his head. It is on the ground because he is also on the ground because he's been attacked by someone. Someone has attacked Logan Bryce. He is incapacitated. Blood, rugby balls everywhere. It's just a complete disaster. He is out. He is out of the match. They're like, oh, fuck. What are we going to do? Do you know what? Doesn't matter. Terry Thatcher and Session Martina, they might not be the strongest. They might not be the most powerful, but they have heart, right? So it's the two of them against the Kings. 3-on-2, no disqualification handicap match. Martina gets knocked out straight away and spends essentially the entire match on the ground outside. And it's a 3-on-1 handicap match that everyone feared they were going to get at the previous show. And the Kings of the North, basically, they demolished Terry Thatcher. They wiped the floor with him. They pin him. Adam Max said 1-2-3. And the title shot at the next show is confirmed. But after that, they go to beat him down, right? They go to beat down Terry Thatcher even more, even though the match is over. The timekeeper is ringing the bell. You know the way they do that after beatdowns, yeah, where they keep ringing the bell? Even though it's not like the attacker is going to turn around and say, oh, the bell is ringing. I must stop this attack. My mistake. I thought the match was still continuing. Thank you, timekeeper, for informing me on this. I will now go backstage and proceed to go on my merry way. That's not what happens. The Kings have wiped the floor with Terry Thatcher. Martina gets up. She gets into the ring and she's like, Kings, fuck off. And they all run off. And she says, right, okay, you can beat up Terry Thatcher, but you know what? We're going to keep coming back harder, better, stronger. And we'll get the whole family after you. Not just Terry Thatcher. We're going to get Timothy Thatcher after you. We're going to get former Man City defender Ben Thatcher after you. We're going to get fucking Maggie Thatcher after you. And Terry Thatcher's like, what? What? No, 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 not Maggie Thatcher. And the fans are like, wait, what? And it's like, no, no, what are you doing? And she's like, but Maggie Thatcher's your ma. And he's like, no, Maggie Thatcher's not my ma. What are you saying? And the fans are like, boo, what the fuck? They've like turned on Terry Thatcher now. They're like, what the fuck do you mean you're the son of Maggie Thatcher? Boo. And he's like, I swear I am not the son of Maggie Thatcher. And Session Martina's like, oh, really? Well, then what's this picture I found earlier? And she points up at the screen and there's a picture of Terry Thatcher with his arm around Maggie Thatcher. You know, like you know that pose? You know the pose that like wrestlers do when they're getting a picture with like fans and they've got like
Triple H?
It's
Maggie Thatcher is doing the Triple H too.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they're both like,
they're fully endorsing each other.
They're fully endorsing each other. Like they're proper pals and the fans are fucking, they are fuming. They're like, what the fuck is it? Terry Thatcher, you're a letdown. You're a sellout. You're this, you're that. And they're raging. And Session was like, what? It's just his mom. And they're like, no, fuck you. And it causes a big ruckus. And that's how the May show ends.
We're about halfway through this.
We are halfway through. We cut to social media again. And this time, the Kings of the North are teasing a Queen of the North. And there's all this speculation going around. Myla Grace is the favorite, but there's also Casey Owens, Rhea O'Reilly, Sky James, Lauren LaRue. All the Nordy names are being passed around. Who is going to be the Queen of the North? But we proceed. It's June. And what's important about this show is that Bonesaw and Corbin aren't around. They're in TNT or they're in Discovery Wrestling or they're in a different promotion, getting booked, doing something else. So it's just Adam Maxted versus Terry Thatcher, 1-on-1, fair and square. And this time, this is not like the January show. This time, Terry Thatcher is raging. He's getting the better of the man that betrayed him. He is beating the fuck out of Adam Maxted. He is bringing it. Fucking punches, kicks, drop kicks, strikes, everything, yeah? Proper beating the fuck out of him, and we finally get to the stage in the match. The fans are waiting for, well, most of them aren't because they now hate him because of his association with Maggie Thatcher, but like for Declan and the handful that still like him, he goes to the corner and he takes off the straps and he says, brace yourself. But then all of a sudden, a man in a balaclava, a masked man, shows up at ringside and he just stares at Terry Thatcher. And Terry Thatcher stares back. He's like, what the fuck are you looking at? Like, what the actual fuck are you looking at? And instead of just hitting the detachment and getting the win and then dealing with it afterwards, like most wrestlers should, he decides to stare at him and just, you know, wait for the altercation to run its course. Who takes advantage of this? Adam Maxson himself rolls up Terry Thatcher. 1, 2, 3. New DCW champion Adam Maxson runs away with it. And Terry Thatcher's like, what the fuck? And he's still staring down the masked man. He's like, masked man, who the fuck are you? What the fuck are you doing? Sessionmott runs out from behind the masked man, grabs the balaclava off the top of his head, pulls it back. It's Timothy Thatcher. And he's like, what the fuck? Show number 7. We're in July. Terry Thatcher versus Timothy Thatcher. We have the rematch. Terry Thatcher. It's a banging match, by the way, back and forth. It's a 5-star classic. Terry Thatcher wins the match. After all that, it's a really bruising affair, but he somehow wins the match, but he doesn't have his title. So he grabs the mic and he immediately just said, Kings of North, I'm calling you out. All fucking three of you. Corbin, Bonesaw, Adam Maxson, get the fuck out right now. They all walk out together. They're laughing. They're smiling. They're like, it's another beatdown, boys. Let's go. But as they get to the ring, suicide dive immediately from Terry Thatcher wipes out all three of them. Yeah, he gets back into the ring with a steel chair. And anytime any of them get up onto the ring apron, Corbin goes first, smacks him with a steel chair. Bonesaw goes up, smacks him with a steel chair. Adam Maxson doesn't even try. They're like, oh, what the fuck are we doing? Terry Thatcher, he's swinging the chair around like a madman. He's going crazy. All of a sudden, from behind, low blow. What the fuck? Who's just low blowed Terry Thatcher? Well, is it none other than the Queen of the North herself, Katie Harvey, grabs the mic and she says, Myla Grace, Sky James, Lauren LaRue, Casey Owens, Rhea O'Reilly, doesn't matter if you're North, South, East or West, there is only one Queen of Irish Wrestling and it's myself, Katie Harvey. Do you have something to say, Rick?
Question. Is Katie putting on a Nordy accent now? Like, does she have to play up to the North? So she like, I'm the Queen of Irish Wrestling. I was like, we know how you talk. You don't talk like that.
The point of it was that that she wouldn't, because it shows that it doesn't matter where you're from, that she is the Queen. But I like the idea, so we're going to make her put on a Nordy accent. Perfect.
It's keen booking, so like doing something which might humiliate Katie and get her slagged is in his best interest.
I have a flawless Belfast accent.
Already?
Okay then.
Already? On an audio medium? Would you like to care to share that with us?
I don't. I just remember my school and we had a teacher from Belfast and we just used to taunt him and go, situation, over and over again.
That's the promo. That's all that happens. Kay gets in the mic, the fans are booing, and Kay just goes, situation.
So, Katie Harvey is the Queen of the North. That's the big reveal. And we go to August. Now, August is a very interesting one because in September, it's announced that for the September show, we are going to get the trilogy. We are going to get Terry Thatcher versus Adam Maxson for the title. But the August show is very important because kind of like when the New Day supported Kofi in his run to WrestleMania, it's Terry's friends against Adam's friends with the sole purpose. It opens with Logan Bryce versus Bonesaw. But if Logan Bryce wins, Bonesaw is banned from ringside for the September show. It's a big affair. It's big. It's back and forth. You know, lots of hard-hitting shit going on. But in the end, Logan Bryce gets the win. Then we have Sessionmott versus Damian Corbin. If Sessionmott wins, Damian Corbin is banned from ringside. Again, lots of Sessionmott fighting back and all that sort of shit. Sessionmott fights back, gets the win. Damian Corbin is banned from ringside. So we're in September now. It's Terry Thatcher, accompanied to the ring by Sessionmott Martina, against Adam Maxton, accompanied to the ring by Katie Harvey. For the prestigious DCW World title. We photoshopped some pictures of DCW title being defended in like Asia and stuff, just so, you know, again, it qualifies, all right? It qualifies the world title.
Okada Naito, except for Terry Thatcher and Adam Maxson.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's being defended everywhere. It is a world title. And this is, again, similar to the last match, Terry Thatcher's getting the better of Adam Maxson. He's bringing it, he's punching, he's kicking, he's fighting, he's doing everything he can. And then finally, the straps are down. Brace yourself. He hits it. Detachment. And 1, 2, Katie Harvey pulls the ref out while he's counting. And it's like, why'd you do that? Because, because she wants to. So Sesshima turns around and she beats the shit out of Katie. She's like, fuck you. Like, proper, like, beat, like, again, punches, kicks, everything. She's just like, fuck you, Katie. Beats Katie down. Gets back into the ring, lifts up Adam Maxson, and then takes the head of Terry Thatcher clean off. And then hits him with a code breaker, puts Adam over Terry, brings in Foxy. 1, 2, 3. Adam Maxson retains the title, and she has betrayed Terry Thatcher in front of everyone. October. And finally, we get an explanation after months of people on social media being, or well, 1 month on social media of everybody saying, why the fuck did Sesshima do what she did? She grabs the mic and she says, take a look at this. And it's a video clip from January from all the cans that were that were drank at the out of her bag all those months ago. And she has CCTV footage of who did it. It was Linda. Linda drank all her cans backstage. And Sesshima is like, what the fuck? What the fuck is this? Dickhead. And she says, right, allow me to explain myself. I'm the one who attacked Logan Bryce before our 3-on-3 tag team match, so you lost your tag team partner. I'm the one who photoshopped the picture of you and Maggie Thatcher, so you lost your fan support. I'm the one who paid Timothy Thatcher to interfere in your match, so you lost your family. I'm the one who interfered and made sure that you lost your title in the last match. So you want to take my cards away from me? I'll take everything away from you. And Terry Thatcher comes out, and he's like, right. He's like, right, next month, you and me, one-on-one, let's fucking go. I'm going to batter you. And Sesshima's like, no, I don't want to do that. That's a lot of effort. And he's like, right, if I win, I get that title shot that you robbed from me. But if I lose, I retire. And I walk away from DCW forever. And Declan's crying. He's like, no, please don't do that. Please don't, please don't take that on. But they have the match anyway. It's a fantastic match. It's back and forth. It's everything you want it to be. Terry Thatcher, he gets the win. He gets the big win. But we're not done because it's only November. December comes around. And he gets his title shot again. For the DCW title, we get Thatcher versus Maxted 4. And you may be wondering, like, that match between Terry Thatcher and Sesshima Martino was very quick. It was very, very clean. It was very, you know what I mean? There was no interference. You're right, there wasn't. But the same cannot be said about this. Oh, my God. My microphone. Yes, there we go. The same cannot be said about this big December blow-off main event match between Terry Thatcher and Adam Maxted. Right, here we go. Terry Thatcher's getting the best. He's getting the better of Adam Maxson. He's figuring out he's got the keys to victory, but Bonesaw interferes. And Bonesaw is beating the shit out. I'm like, oh fuck. No, he's gonna lose now. But who interferes? Who comes in for the save? Logan Bryce. Logan Bryce takes out Bonesaw. But then Sesshima comes in, beats the shit out of Terry Thatcher. Then Katie comes in, beats the shit out of Sesshima. Evens the odds again. Then Damian Corbin comes in, beats the shit out of Terry Thatcher again. Who comes in? Spear out of nowhere? Linda herself. The odds have been evened. The odds have been evened until Timothy Thatcher makes his return, beats the shit out of Terry Thatcher. Terry looks to be in serious trouble when Spear, out of nowhere, Ben Thatcher from fucking Man City history, comes in, takes Timothy Thatcher clean out, takes Adam Maxson clean out, puts Terry Thatcher over Adam Maxson. 1, 2, 3, new champion. And that's how the storyline ends.
Then the music plays on it, and it's like Terry Thatcher.
Terry Thatcher. Everyone's already left after the Maggie Thatcher stuff, so it's just Declan with a scarf being like, "Yay!" And I'm like, "Yay!" You like the Declan?
That's who it was all for, anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Really. So
they just dropped the pretense.
So how's everybody? Does everybody feel about that? Any objections? Anything you'd have done differently? Or
I'm grateful for the booking, so thank you.
No problem.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we were all imagining when we got this question.
Ben Thatcher getting speared. I didn't want it to be too obvious. I know it was the first thing that came into everybody's mind, you know. But I hope there was enough twists and turns for you.
I appreciated that.
Now we go down to business. The main event of this particular DCW event. Or that's what you want to call it. We don't need to call that anymore. It's the Ice Cream World Cup. We are now. Is this the quarterfinals?
Around the 16, we're going to get to the final, okay? And I'm going to introduce a new rule here that even you guys don't know about, because there's been a lot of upset with these past World Cups, okay? And the reason is that they feel that a lot of people feel that, guys, not to put you on blast here, but you've kind of hijacked it in the past. Buttons, very controversial winner in the past, okay? And people feel that they haven't been represented here. So I'm going to bring in a rule to allow people to feel represented, because we're not the only people on this Zoom call right now. We do have Low Blow subscribers tuning in live who deserve to have their voice heard. So I'm going to introduce a new rule to this. We are going to do the last 16 the same way we always do it. There's three of us here. So if you get two votes, you're through to the next round. However, what I am introducing is a three-person veto system, okay? So if we get three vetoes in the Low Blows chat room, while after a vote is in, the other ice cream wins it, okay? So the result flips because more people have voted for that, but I do want to take the listeners into account, okay? So you cannot rig this. You cannot, like, manipulate this system. The people will be represented. The Low Blows listeners will be represented once and for all, guys. So, guys, in the chat room, I need yous on standby. Yous are important to this now. You can decide this. This is relevant all the way up to the final, so the listeners could be the people to decide this, but we need three people to veto it. So, if you disagree with a decision, all you have to do is type veto into the chat.
I think I speak for everyone when I say that's bollocks. But we'll do it anyway.
It's bollocks. There's more people will have voted.
What? It's not their vote that counts. It's the host vote that counts. People aren't listening to their vote. They're not listening to their justification.
This is like a bigger heel turn than Terry Thatcher being related to Maggie Thatcher.
This is. I don't think he was. Disclaimer: I don't think he was.
Keen, I'm the one who matters. I made the BBC.
This is an outrage. These people don't understand. They don't understand. Jonathan, Keenan's not a fan of democracy. You're damn right I'm not. If the democracy means that buttons get voted out, I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of that at all.
I'm just saying, yeah. But we need a three-person veto.
This is a keen tatership.
I actually have two votes because I'm expressing Phil's vote as well because he couldn't be here tonight. So,
well, that gives
us even more bollocks.
That gives us an uneven, like, no, that gives us an even split. So that means that it's no. Everyone has one vote, and the listeners, if they speak together, there's a three-person veto, can overturn a decision.
Watch Rick change this when they veto one of his votes. I guarantee, just because the buttons. No. That's all it is. It's just because the buttons.
It's not because of me. No, this is a rule, and it doesn't matter. It can be against mine as well. It just means that everyone is represented, and we can get a winner that we can all somewhat be responsible for. When this goes out to the world and everyone gets angry at the decision we made, at least the people in the chat can't give out to us because we gave them an option.
We don't make it anymore.
We gave them an option to change it. So
you gave them an option.
I think they should only be allowed one veto. They can only overturn one decision.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually.
then they have to make a count. What if they just try to get revenge on me and Keane by overturning all our decisions?
Exactly. It'll be abused. Rick,
okay,
by the way,
there is
watch
a
Rick's internet.
That's a fair argument.
Watch Rick magically lag out when they got to vote out like Cornetto or some shit.
Okay, so that's a fair argument. They can't hijack it and vote against every Keane and Katie thing. Okay, so we'll give them three vetoes max. Okay,
there's only like five rounds.
That's what they already had.
There's eight in this round. There's four. There's 12. 40, there's 15 total. So they get a veto
there's 15 matchups left.
Yeah.
I feel like you're dazzling me with maths. I don't think that's correct. I think you're just saying
it's around the 16, so there's 8, and then there's 4, and then there's 2, and then there's 1. That's 15.
Can't believe I'm on Team Katie. This is bollocks.
Okay, so that's the rule. You have three vetoes, guys, okay? And there needs to be three people who veto. If you dislike the decision, type veto in the chat. That's all you have to do, okay? First matchup in the round of 16, Mars against Mint Feast.
Mars.
Mint Feast.
No, Jimmy, it's the round of 16, so there's 8 matches in the round of 16. I'm going to go with Mars for this one. So that is 2-1 unless we get a veto. We do. It is time sensitive. You can't veto like something that happened 3 rounds ago. So you need to get in straight away. So Mars is true for now. Right, no veto so far. This is an interesting one. Iceburger against fruit pastilles.
Fruit pastilles.
Fruit pastilles.
Oh, I would have picked Iceburger personally. We're going to give a chance. If there is a chance to veto, you have it now. Speak now or forever hold your veto. They're already, I feel like Iceburger should have won that, but like, I think they're holding their vetoes for now.
Everyone's waiting. Everyone's waiting with bated breath.
Everyone's all now. I think we know where this is going. Cornetto Classic against Loop the Loop. A heavyweight.
Loop the Loop.
Easy. Loop
the Loop. Easy Loop the Loop.
Loop the Loop into the quarterfinals. Tentatively, unless we get a veto, we are not getting any vetoes. Okay, congratulations, Loop the Loop. Cornetto is out in the round of 16. Perhaps controversial, but this is the vote that's been decided on. This is why there is a veto system in place. Maxi Twist against Smarties Ice Cream.
Smarties. Ooh. Easy. Smarties. All day.
Maxi Twist.
I don't think... I like Smarties. I don't think I've ever had a Smarties ice cream. So Maxi Twist by default.
Sounds lovely. Veto! 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 How do I type it in?
You don't get a veto.
Veto! Look, I typed it there. Veto! Who's with me? Nobody's with me by the looks of it.
Smarties! You can't veto your decision.
And you've never tried a Smarties ice cream.
Yeah,
you can't
but
vote for it.
I can, though. I haven't tried the other one. Smarties looks lovely.
Why do you care enough to veto?
Well, you don't get a veto. You're part of the vote.
It says veto right there. V-E-T. That is how you spell it, yeah?
Yeah, that's it.
Would have been awkward if I spelled it wrong.
No, you're thinking a big veto in WWE.
That's what I was like. Is it veto or veto? Do you get three vetoes but one veto? Is that like another little twist?
You do get a big veto vote where it turns out big veto is the best ice cream you can have. Okay, so Maxi Twist is true. We have brunch against Super Split.
Brunch.
I'm neutral. I'm actually so neutral. I don't know. What? Let me
do this. Is brunch all day for me.
Yeah.
Oh, you're green. Grand.
Yeah, brunch is up there. Okay, we have Magnum versus Dairy Milk ice cream.
Magnum,
yeah. That is an interesting quarterfinal that's after setting up. Okay, here we go.
Let's go!
Are we ready for our scrap?
Go!
Magnum White against Buttons ice cream.
Magnum White, fuck all of you. You thought I was voting for Buttons. You thought I was voting for Buttons. You just got fucked. All of you got fucked. I voted for Magnum White. Now what are you going to use your veto on? And I actually was going to vote for Magnum White from the start. That's the funniest part. You didn't even need to bring in the veto system. I was actually going to vote for Magnum White. It's just a principle of it. You know what I mean?
I
go Magnum White.
I've also got Magnum White. I genuinely prefer it.
Oh yeah,
yeah, like as an ice cream, like as a chocolate. Obviously, I'm a Buttons man, but as far as ice cream, Magnum is king. Ah, so you're only pretending to be a fascist. Yes, Jonathan.
We have one veto all the same. We've a veto now in for Buttons. What are you doing?
Oh my god. That'll be a plot twist. That'll be a plot twist. If we get a veto and then get Buttons through.
They use their three vetoes to get Buttons quarterfinal, semi-final, final.
Oh, that'd be such a plot twist. Oh my god. Judging by Keith saying veto and then Jimmy saying fuck you, Hanley, I don't think it's likely we're getting the veto.
Well, what would have been funny there is if everyone was waiting, was hovering, had typed the word veto and was just ready to press enter, and then Keane at the last minute had got Magnum White, everyone pressed veto at the same time, expecting them to say Buttons, and then Buttons ended up getting true by default, even though Keane never wanted that to happen. But we have Magnum White into the quarterfinals. Buttons has been officially eliminated. Last one, Calippo Orange against Freaky Foot. Katie, you're very... You came out firing for our Freaky Foot last time. Are you standing by the foot?
I am standing by the foot, yes. nice one.
Not standing with the foot, standing by the foot. Standing with the foot, in hindsight, would have been a very clever phrase, but I didn't know it. I was standing by it. Okay, so Keane, Calippo Orange, Freaky Foot.
Oh, Calippo Orange, easily.
Yeah, Calippo. Sorry, I am not standing with the foot. I'm standing against the foot. Okay, right. We are into the quarterfinals now. Jimmy says he's okay with any winner from here. I think Buttons was the thing that we're all concerned with. We have avoided that eventuality. Buttons eliminated unanimously. Okay, a big plot twist in the Ice Cream World Cup. Anything can happen from here. Mars against Fruit Pastilles, quarterfinal matchup.
Mars.
Fruit Pastilles.
Easy, Mars.
100%. I'm going to go Mars here. Because for me, I feel like Mars also represents the likes of Twix and Snickers, which has been misrepresented in this tournament. I feel like
the it's genre.
It's representing a lot. So I think Mars deserves to be in there. Fruit Pastilles, a fine ice cream by any stretch of the imagination. Ice pop, but by any stretch of the imagination, but not in the final four. Loop de Loop against Maxi Twist.
Loop de Loop, easily. Yeah.
Loop to loop as well. Yeah, I'm going to go for that. So unanimously into the semi-finals. Okay, another heavyweight matchup. Brunch against Magnum.
Magnum.
Brunch.
It's coming down to me. Okay. Magnum, great heavyweight ice cream. Deserves to be in the semi-finals. But Brunch, you've got a potential winner.
What?
I think so. Keith also does these in work. If I'm not wrong, has Brunch won the main one in work? Like we get the sloppy seconds and then we go and ruin it with our controversial picks. So Brunch won the one in work. It is that level of ice cream. So I'm going to go Brunch as well. I think it deserves to be in the final four. It's an elite ice cream. Whereas Magnum is a heavyweight contender, much like Cornetto. But when you weigh it up, it's something that Brunch is something that you go for as a treat.
That's instead of Magnum. Veto that. Look, am I seeing vetoes? I think they're probably just typing out. We should give that a second. No, we are waiting for just a VO. Just Keith, you going for that? Going for a little VO there, Jonathan? I see you typing that in.
However, Keane, Magnum is not completely eliminated because in the other quarterfinal, the last quarterfinal, it is Magnum White against Calippo Orange.
Yeah, I'm going Magnum, definitely.
Okay. Magnum.
Okay. I'm going to go Magnum as well. Okay, so we are in to the final four.
Would have been nice to have an all Magnum semi-final, though. You know what I mean? Like a rivals, like a little derby day, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but how often does that happen, like, where you think you're going to get, like, in the quarterfinal, in the World Cup, you're looking at it, and you're looking at the draw, and you're like, oh, the semi-final would be a rematch of the World Cup final last time, and then just a random team gets through. But, it's given it its own character. It's given it its own identity for the Ice Cream World Cup, the identity it deserves. So, in the four worthy winners, I think we'd all agree. But in the semi-finals, we have Mars versus Loop de Loop. Semi-final one.
Loop de Loop.
Oh, shit.
Tuffy.
I'm very passionate that Loop de Loop can go all the way.
Okay.
I respect Loop de Loop enough for it to go all the way. Oh, but I think I'd enjoy a Mars more. So I'm going with a Mars, but
right now, like,
yeah, if you gave me the option of one or the other right now, I'd go with Mars. And it hurts to say that, because I love Loop to Loop. It is something I particularly had when I was younger. But, I think I'm going to go with Mars.
If we're voting based on Mars representing like the likes of Twix and Snickers and the omissions, like, I think Mars would deserve it, but it's not. It's only a Mars ice cream by itself, and I never get a Mars ice cream by itself. A Mars ice cream is just a cold Mars, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's quite tasty. Loop de Loop is an iconic ice cream, especially in Ireland. That deserves to be in the final. So Loop de Loop first in for me. In the second semi-final, another heavyweight clash, Brunch against Magnum White. I'm very proud of our final four there. I think we've done well. We've pulled this together.
Easy. Magnum White.
Oh, Brunch. Brunch. That hurts, but Brunch.
Oh, you're again,
if,
to me.
If we did the test where, like, if both ice creams were in front of me right now, which one would I eat? It would be a Brunch.
I spent the summer, and it was quite a happy summer. Every day after work, going up and getting, every single day, without fail, addicted to it, a Magnum White. I've never done that with a Brunch. I never had that urge where I've wanted it every single day without fail. And that says that counts for quite a lot. I do love a Magnum White still to this day. However, that's not this summer. And if I'm putting myself in that position where it's like, what do I want right now? If I was going to commit to either ice cream, eating that every day, I've done the Magnum White thing. I think brunch is the one that I go for most often these days.
So for me, I'm putting brunch in the final. So, Vito, oh, we have a Vito.
Yes, Jonathan.
Okay,
yes,
we've got
Jonathan.
One Vito.
Vito.
Okay, do we have, we have to get three people vetoing, okay?
Come on, lads.
Are we going to get it just on the basis that it's a pair they haven't used already that they may want to use?
I just realized we have, if you add up everyone that's in the chat, we need actually everyone to veto. So I have to, we have to get everyone on side. Great.
They've had a lot of time. I think they're quite okay with
this. No, look, four letters is a lot. Four, if you're not good at typing, you know, I mean, not everyone, not everyone's Mr.
You
Mr. Mad Fingers
to
type out a fucking essay. Keith said four letters was typed in from Keith and he said sent. Nope. Keith say typed in. Fuck
you
up. Well.
Okay. We're in the final. Okay. We almost had a veto and we still can in the final. They have held on to their vetoes. They could still turn this entire thing around. We have Loop the Loop, iconic ice cream in its own right. If you're going for the sweetness of it or an ice pop, obviously it's ice pop versus ice cream as well, let's consider that. Loop the Loop, if you're going for like the fruity taste with a bit of chocolate on top, a bit of surprise mixing the flavors, versus the brunch, just a bit of everything, but very much an ice cream. Guys, who we got?
Loop the Loop
brunch.
I've made the fatal mistake of speaking first, because when you speak, if you're stuck on a decision, right, and somebody says something, your head goes the other way. You know what I mean? It's like when you flip a coin to make a decision, and you're like, "Ooh, actually, I need the other one." So that was psychologically a complete fuck up on my part. Oh no! Oh, I've just conceded. Sorry, I'm playing FIFA. Sorry.
Loop the Loop or brunch to win the ice cream or a cup? Okay, I need to think this out loud. Loop the Loop, iconic. Gorgeous, tasty. Haven't had one in years. Brunch, also a favorite. Had one recently. Would have one right now if it was in front of me. Actually, I'm probably going to get one in work tomorrow because we now have ice cream machine at work. That's a separate point. It doesn't matter. This is tough. What it's coming down to is quantity over quality. The problem is with the one I'm not picking is you just fly through it and it's gone and that's it. And then you need to get another one. Whereas I'm going to go for one which fills me up and satisfies me. I'm picking brunch as the winner of the Ice Cream World Cup. Jonathan says he's okay with brunch winning here. Have we got anyone else? We do need a three-person veto to change it. Going once, going twice. Ladies and gentlemen, your winner of the Ice Cream World Cup Low Blows 2020, it is brunch. Congratulations. I don't know what to do here. Everyone seems to be happy with brunch. We're not cancelled. We're okay. We made it to the end of this. Corporate Keane, how are you?
Well, they say that one of the main symptoms of coronavirus is that your taste buds go numb, so you have no taste. So just recommend just get it checked out. bye.